ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Who know about it?
Winter Jam Thursday.
Winter Jam Thursday. Did we? Was there Winter Jam Wednesday?
No. That was last year's Winter Jam. Okay. They did that big old...
They didn't do it this year.
No.
Cool.
It's Winter Jam Thursday. Tonight I will be there.
He will. I will not.
Tonight,
but Mitch will be there.
Yeah, Mitch will be there.
She will be there in my stead.
You will be practicing.
Practicing.
And for the mantle!
Yeah, I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Last night, Jamie and I got together with Dave and Jesse and Johnny B from Old Man Shattered, and we ran through the songs, and it went pretty good.
Jamie being the drummer from Waverly.
That's right. So you got... 2/5 of Waverly,
yes.
With three whatevers there were. How many people were in
three,
Old Man Chatter?
Was there it four?
There were four?
Yeah.
Okay, because Dave's not, he's not playing. He's just singing.
Oh, okay.
He's going for it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we practiced. It went really well. It went way better than I expected it to. But it did. It went good. And so we're going to practice tonight and then probably tomorrow night, too.
Ooh.
So when we get there Saturday, we won't sound like garbage.
Because
it's already tuned down to B, which translates to near garbage.
Yes.
So if you're not tight when you're tuned that low, then you sound like garbage. And I'm not talking about...
Are you going to leave your bass like that for worship?
As soon as I get some extra money, I will be changing my bass.
Leave it like that for worship, man. Come on.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, when you tune down lower, oftentimes you have to get your guitar specifically set up for it to do that, especially like with a bass, because you have to get thicker strings that can produce more of the low sound. And yeah, so if I would have just left my regular strings on there, which are 105s, 105 gauge, it would have been like... Bleh. But now I got 110s, which are thick, and my calluses on my fingers are getting worse. And there, it's like, you can hear it. Dave England would be so proud of me right now,
because
it is metal up in that piece.
Yeah.
I was like, what do we think we're doing? Are we
Well, you're playing with Flyleaf, man.
Yeah, I know. So
you got to be metal,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, we're playing with Flyleaf Saturday. I'm going to post all of the information, because if you bring... Tickets are free if you donate a case of food.
Yeah.
It's called the Edge Take the Edge Off Hunger Show.
That's right. It's to benefit for the storehouse here in Albuquerque.
And so I'm going to post all the info, and I'm going to post the locations where you can go to get, you can take your case of food and then get your tickets.
There you go.
Yeah, tickets. Get your tickets.
We're really excited about that. It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, and you're going to talk about it at Winter Jam tonight.
I am. I'm going to be talking about it tonight.
Guys, from what I've talked to Dex, and he says that they're not sure how the show's going to do. And I said, don't worry, man. People are going to be there.
Yeah.
So I'm counting on you guys to be there.
It's Flyleaf.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to see Flyleaf?
But it's a different singer. You know? So it's kind of... And that's what... He was like, do people really care that it's a different singer? And I was like, Dex, I've never liked that band. But yes, people care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine if Guns N' Roses came through Albuquerque without Axl Rose.
Well,
it was like, but Slash and Duff are playing.
But what about the... Which one did we see? Alice in Chains. They have a different singer.
Yeah, but Layne Staley's dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lacey didn't die.
She didn't. She said she wanted to quit music and be with her family, and so her solo record just came out a couple months ago.
So that'd be like, I mean, this is really...
Not kidding.
Which is ironic, because I was just about to say, so that'd actually be more like if Benjamin Gate came through, but that's like a really old reference.
Ah, Benjamin Gate.
They were so great, right?
That was a good band.
I got married... To Jeremy, actually, who's going to be in concert tonight.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm going to give him so much crap.
You should give him
crap. I love
guys,
that dude.
He's Winter
a
Jam
really,
tonight,
really good dude.
If you see the Disciple guys, tell them I said hello, because me and Jamie wish we were going to be there to hang out.
I know,
we've been
sorry.
Looking forward to it, but it's not going to work out. And there's a ton of people that are going to be at Winter Jam.
It's going to be awesome.
People love the Winter Jam.
They do.
And good morning, y'all. It's Matthew from Albuquerque.
No.
Good morning, Matthew.
How's it going, guys? I'm not feeling a little... Judy, the bus driver!
Hey, Judy!
Good morning, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Anyways, guys. So, what's up?
Winter Jam! Tonight!
Winter Jam tonight, guys? Really?
Rio Rancho, bruh.
Dang, that's a long wait for me. But hey, you know, I actually have a dental appointment.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Hey,
he's good. He is. He's
I'm
good.
Just so glad it's not during my football season. Otherwise, I would have to miss.
Right.
But now, guys, that you know that I'm on the radio talking about the dental appointment.
So late. Matthew,
dental appointments are pretty crazy, guys. They charge you a lot.
Stop. Matthew. When is your dental appointment?
Yeah.
It's about 5 o'clock.
What?
Who has 5 o'clock?
What is this midnight dentist?
I don't know. This is weird.
What's happening?
I don't know, Dr. Midnight.
But guys, let me tell you this. The guy I go to,
his name
is Dr. Mike Mortagini. He's up at Just for Kids Dental up off of Coors Boulevard in the little shopping area. Yeah, he's in that area. Just check this. This guy has been doing dental work and practicing this stuff since the year 2000.
Nice.
And he's been, you know, cleaning my teeth ever since I was real little, ever since I was probably like 3 years old.
Ever since the year 2000.
I've been going to him for a long, long time.
Matthew, when were you born on this planet?
Let's see, my date of birth, 5/14/99, guys.
Nice.
99.
I know you had other lives on other planets, so I just wanted to know about this planet.
No.
Specifically.
Yeah.
I don't think I have had that, guys. Hey, what can I say?
Who is that guy?
You know, they've always been good. Even the receptionist at that place has known me real well. She's all known me for a long time. Even everyone in the building there has known me because they've all taken a turn cleaning my teeth each time I've gone in.
Okay.
Gotcha. So it's nice, you know, and if you guys, there are parents out there listening to me right now looking for a great place to take your kids.
Matthew, stop talking.
Gosh.
You can't do that on a non-com. That's a business.
Non-commercial radio. You can't plug a business.
All right, guys. But yeah, I'll post them on my website.
That's what you need to do. You need to direct people to your website where they can find more information.
Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it.
So while I'm on the topic of websites, you guys have anything you guys want me to put on your page on there?
Yes, Matthew. Saturday, The Edge is doing a thing. It's a canned food drive. It's called Take the Edge Off Hunger. Flyleaf is playing, and then I'm playing bass for this band called Old Man Shattered. I'm gonna post all the information on Static's Facebook, so you can take it from there and put it on your website. But it's happening Saturday, so you've got to do it today.
Okay, I'll definitely get to that, guys. So here's the other thing. Since I don't have Facebook access at school, I usually do this during my lunch break.
Okay.
When I'm doing website ads. So you guys pretty much know my email is mattformabq@gmail.com.
Okay.
And you can shoot all that stuff there. If there's a flyer picture you guys want on there instead, like I kind of did for the Share-a-thon you guys had, I can put that picture on the website right under the inspirational quote of the day. I can put it on the website, and then I can add a link into that image to the Edge website.
That's what
we'll
do.
When they click it, it goes straight to the info page, so I don't have to type so much, and it takes them to the right
place.
That's
better for you. I get it.
I definitely do that. Then again, for the fans out there listening to me this morning, you guys can all email me, too. Don't be shy, folks.
That's
MattFromABQ@gmail.com is that email address. If you guys email me today or tomorrow, anytime before Friday or before Sunday night, I'll give someone a shout-out on Monday morning with a dedication.
Whoa.
So you guys out there can get that free of charge because I don't charge.
Free
it's
of
not
charge.
The right thing to do.
Thanks,
free
buddy.
And besides,
wait, he doesn't charge to get a dedication sent to him so that he can in turn use that for our show.
That's
he
right.
He doesn't charge for that.
That's blessings.
Hey, you know what?
That's blessings on people.
I give random songs. If you have a song you want to listen, like, Mateo, what band are you playing?
I play in a band called House of Heroes, but I'm filling in for a band called Old Man Shattered.
See, if they had House of Heroes and you wanted that band on the air, hey, I would definitely have that song on for you guys.
All right, Matthew, I just emailed you. So tell me what song you want us to play. Can we
for this morning, guys? Get me some. Let's see here. Y'all, get me some Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
All right.
Right on.
We'll make it happen, buddy.
Yeah, this is going out to the men and women of the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office. Thanks, all you guys out there, for all you do. I appreciate everything you do for the community. Thank
you.
Keep doing your job, guys.
There you go. Beautiful. Thanks.
God bless. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks. Go Hawks. Hey, go Hawks.
As promised, you wanted to hear Incubus. Pardon me.
Yeah, you did.
Going out to the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department.
Booyah.
It's Thursday.
It is.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now,
Static.
Pardon me while I burst. Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Hello, everyone. Today is November 6, 2014, and it is time for your breaking news. Which is good.
Yeah.
Today's number of the day is 4.
The number of cans of cranberry sauce I will consume at Thanksgiving.
Love cranberry sauce. Absolutely love cranberry sauce.
It's my fave!
But it's actually the votes received for Mr. Potato Head in the 1985 Boise, Idaho election.
I like that. He only got like 4 votes.
I feel like our boy Daniel probably voted for him.
Yeah.
We want to talk about some local news. Missing Rio Rancho girl has returned home. And I can't read the article because this is stupid. You have to be able... You have to answer some questions.
That's
be
fun.
Able to look at the article.
Mm.
And I guess you it's have to do that here. Steve-O, tell everybody what happened to this little girl.
It was interesting. There was a 10-year-old girl. Alexandria, right?
Alexandra.
Greenwell. She stayed within 1 mile of her home the entire time. Mm-hmm. But she was missing for how long?
She went missing early morning hours of October 30th and returned home November 1st.
Yeah. I was watching this news story last night. They were interviewing her. They were interviewing the police that found her, the sheriff's department, I believe. And she was, like, evading people.
Yeah.
She was, like, hiding from bushes to bushes. And if she saw search people, she would just whoop. Said she'd slide over to a different bush area. She started to cross the street one time. She said she saw a police officer's car, so she dashed back into the bushes.
I mean, yeah. The FBI got involved in this thing.
Yeah.
Amber Alert got issued. And then you want to tell me she's evading people by hiding in the bushes?
She ran away with 2 backpacks full of clothes, allegedly.
Yeah. It's an interesting story.
It was Rio Rancho PD. That's why they had different uniforms, right?
Oh, I see.
It was Rio Rancho.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story, but whatever happened, gosh, they were right. Whatever happened, she's home.
Yeah.
Strange situation. The funny thing is, the other day at church, one of the kids goes to school in Rio Rancho.
Yeah.
And the kid came up and said, "That little girl's missing, or she got found or whatever." And I was like, yeah, that's good news. And then the little kid said, "That whole thing's weird."
Yeah.
And if a little kid walks up to me and say that and says that whole thing is weird,
yeah,
then I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then I remembered that whole balloon boy thing from a few years ago. But we'll talk about that later. Benedict Cumberbatch announced his engagement.
Really?
Yes. We still don't know if he's officially Doctor Strange or not.
Chrissy's sad.
Devastated. NASCAR announced penalties for crew members involved in a brawl last week. NASCAR brawl.
Man.
You like NASCAR? You love it.
Nah.
You love it. New report says that among industrialized nations, South Korea has the most unhappy school children due to the intense, unrelenting academic pressure that they're under to get high grades and succeed. I also saw a story where a woman of Irish descent
mm-hmm.
was denied a teaching job in South Korea because of Irish alcoholism.
No way!
Yes.
Gosh.
I was like, geez. Man, word got around about those Irish folks. A San Francisco woman has been sentenced to over 16 years in prison. What do you think? Why?
16 years is a lot of
16 years in prison. Why would anyone get 16 years in prison?
Irish alcoholism.
No, close. Operating a phony college.
What?
There was a movie about this, Doug. What was the movie? It had that kid from Dodgeball in it.
Oh, it was a fake college.
Yeah,
what was that
they
called?
Started a fake college.
I don't remember.
They didn't get 16 years in prison. I think they got accredited.
Gosh.
Accredited. A researcher says that Google Glass blocks your peripheral vision.
Oh.
I can't see out my peripheral. I got my Google Glass.
Oh, man.
How many people are just going to fall over with Google Glass? I can't wait to
We're
watch.
Already becoming like that Wall-E society.
We are.
Where we can't do anything.
It's true. Sweet Kid Company released a working communicator modeled after the ones that crew members wore on their uniforms on Star Trek.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. We need to look that up. Yeah. Oh, working communicator, where are you?
You just tap it or what? Because wasn't it on like their chest or something?
Working communicator, Star Trek. It's going to pull up just Trekkies on Trekkies. Wearable communicator. Oh, it's a Kickstarter. The Star Trek communicator. The Onyx. I think this is the one.
Onyx!
Onyx.
Slam! Duh, duh, duh. Anybody?
Nope.
Okay.
What is that?
It was a song by Onyx.
Like Dick Tracy's watch, Star Trek's communicator has long been a muse for real-world technology products. The Onyx, a new device from hardware startup OnBeep, might be the closest thing to what Captain Picard wore on his uniform in Star Trek The Next Generation that we've seen yet. This thing costs about $100. It operates within its own network. It pairs to a smartphone via Bluetooth and works wherever your smartphone has data service, whether that be on Wi-Fi or cellular networks. It's 2.5 inches, it's round, it looks like a little hockey puck, and it can clip to a bag or an article of clothing. It has a button in the middle for initiating communication, a volume rocker, power switch, and a mute switch. Surrounding the main button is a multicolored LED ring that changes color depending on your availability. Blue available, green talking, yellow muted. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Oh, but it only pairs with other Onyxes?
Yeah, and it says, okay, I thought it just had an Android app, but it says iOS. So it's okay, Doug. So it's good.
But you have to have... That doesn't look cool.
Yeah, it looks kind of dorky.
It looks huge and
Of course, we
dumb.
Are talking about... We're talking about Star Trek, which is... That's just the coolest of the cool. Am I right? Am I right?
I remember back in the day, remember the Nextel walkie-talkie phone or whatever?
Yes.
Man, I thought that was the coolest thing. It was like, it's like a walkie-talkie, but it's like a phone. And then I was like, wait, why can't I just call people?
Hey, let me
I have a phone.
Pull your phone out.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Hey man, what are you doing?
Oh.
Now play it on the microphone.
Okay.
Hey man, what are you doing?
Walkie-talkie.
Yeah, but why didn't you just tell me that? I'm standing right next to you.
I wanted to send you a walkie-talkie message.
Huh.
And now you can send me one back.
How do I do that?
I don't want you to. Don't send me one.
Hey man. What's up?
Lame. Now you click the arrow, and it'll send it to me.
Gosh, that just...
Oh, I just got one.
Huh.
Hey, man. What's up?
So it's like Heytel?
Yep. They put it in your phone. You don't have to get Heytel anymore. How cool is that? Forbes has once again named Vladimir Putin as the world's most powerful person!
Yeah!
They've never met Doug. Doug. You're the most powerful person in this world. Don't ever let anybody tell you. Don't let Shannon tell you different. When she starts being mean to you, you say, hey, I gave you that baby, and I'm the most powerful person in the world. So read between the lines. That's what you say. Solving problems. I am a counselor. Not at all. In England, a 19-year-old amateur unlicensed tattoo artist will spend 8 months in jail for giving a 13-year-old girl a neck tattoo that was supposed to read believe, but reads believe. B-E-L-L-E-V-E. He was also sentenced to 120 hours of community service.
Hopefully it's in community college.
Hopefully it's at a spelling bee. Probably not.
I wish you had said 120 hours of community college.
I wish I would have too, but you know what? I didn't. Okay. A group of Atlantic City diners got a very pricey lesson recently on how to order wine. It all started when Joe Lettini...
I've seen this.
...while at a business dinner at Bobby Flay's Steak at the Borgata Hotel and Casino last week, decided to split a bottle of wine with two others in the party of 10.
Yes.
Celebrations.
Yes.
The hosts of the dinner, who were paying the bill, told Lettini to choose. Lettini told the waitress he didn't know much about wine and asked her to recommend something decent.
Yeah.
She pointed to a bottle, and Lettini, who wasn't wearing his glasses, asked how much. Her response, $37.50.
Yeah, it's $37.50, guys. Oh.
Imagine the group's surprise then when their bill totaled more than $4,700.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the wine, Screaming Eagle's Oakville 2011, actually cost $3,750.
Yeah.
After discussions with the waitress and the manager, the restaurant would only bring the price down to $2,200, which Lentini and two others split so they could leave. The three wine drinkers said the waitress definitely said $3,750, not $3,750.
Yeah.
After an investigation, the executive VP of the restaurant said it was determined that both the server and the sommelier verified the bottle requested with the patron, and that's that.
Gosh.
The New York Post said you can snag a bottle of the same wine online for about $1,000.
Gosh.
Mark up!
$3,750.
Hey.
Oh, $3,750? Okay.
Guys, if you want to take me out and drop that much money on food or drink, I'm down.
I would just feel... Oh. And it'd be even worse because if I had... Like, somebody had given me a glass of wine and said, man, you know, try it.
Yeah.
And then after found out how much it was, I would have been like, dang, I didn't even appreciate that.
Yeah.
I didn't even appreciate
that. I didn't
that.
Do the smell thing.
I didn't do whatever didn't. You do, and like, you gargle with it or whatever you do.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
gargle it, and you brush your teeth, and you re-gargle.
And you spit it into another glass, and yeah. then you sip
and you
that
you pour
glass.
That on your friend, and then you lick that off their face.
I don't get that.
And you smell them. It smells like grapes. Old grapes. Like, almost raisins. But not quite.
Oh, man. We should go to the wine festival and
they
just
would
start
love
doing
me.
That.
Gosh, they would just absolutely love us.
Yeah, no, man. We're connoisseurs.
I am a sommelier. Give me your finest wine and all of your trinkets.
You would have to spit it in my hand.
I would.
And then I would smell
and
it.
And then you would smell it, and then you would pour it yes, back into my yes. mouth from your hand.
This Merlot is incredible.
peanut noir. Can I have some of that peanut noir, please? Can I have some of that, please? And some of the Merlot, please? What is this? Cabin. Give me that.
Just give me more Merlot. It's easier to say.
The Merlot. I'm Matlot. Give me the Merlot. Booyah. Baskin-Robbins has announced that its flavor of the month will be first-class camouflage in honor of Veterans Day to pay tribute to the troops. Might sound a little strange, but it's amazing. Combination of chocolate, salted caramel, and cake-flavored ice cream. The company also says it will donate 10 cents from each ice cream scoop to the U.S. Diabetes Fund. 10 cents from each scoop sold in its U.S. locations to the United Service Organization.
Okay, I'm like, really?
The USO. Yeah, that's for real.
I thought you meant diabetes.
Yeah, well, they should. They should donate 10 cents to USO and 5 cents to the Diabetes Foundation.
Yes.
Because then they're going to need it. They're going
to
need it, y'all.
5 more cents to Wilford Brimley because he says diabetes.
Do you have diabetes? Do you suffer from diabetes?
I was listening to The Edge this morning on the way here.
Yeah.
From their replay. And they were talking about the whole can't pee in public thing that we were talking about
yeah.
yesterday. And apparently old Dex can't do it. I say we call him and talk to him about it.
We really should. Because we got to talk about this take the edge off hunger thing anyways.
We do. Should we do it? We'll do it after breaking news. Or do you want to do it now?
We can do it after breaking news. We can do it in the 7 o'clock.
We can do what we want. Because this is our show.
We're grown-ups.
This is our show.
I'm a grown-up!
This is something you might care about, grown-up.
Mm.
Here's another card to pull out of your deck. The next time someone sees a mass shooting reported on TV and says, actually, it's about video games. Christopher Ferguson, a researcher from Stetson University in Florida, tried to determine whether there was any connection between violent video game content and increased levels of youth violence. His study, which uses data collected over a 15-year period, indicates that increased availability of violent video game content actually coincides with drops in youth violence. He says he used game ratings from the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, or the ESRB, to measure availability of violent video game content in a given year, compared that data to federal statistics on youth violence. He points out that he's not arguing that playing violent video games in and of itself decreases levels of youth violence. That's not what he's saying. If violent video games did cause youth violence, however, one would expect to see some relationship between availability of violent content and acts of violence committed by youths, especially when the data sets were taken over a decade and a half.
Mm.
And that's a good point. Interesting. Because that is usually, it's like video games and music.
Yeah. Dude, it's a big reason why I became a plumber.
No, I don't think that's...
I went to plumbing school, and I blame video games.
No, you
because,
don't.
Because, man... I was like all about those green warp pipes.
So I thought you were all about that bass.
I am.
Okay.
No trouble.
Got it.
I jump on lizards' heads.
Yeah.
Also mushrooms randomly. I don't know why. I have problems with mushrooms.
That's probably from college.
Like, jump on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I collect coins, too. I became a coin collector. So, boom, boom. I have a feeling it's all because of video games.
Okay.
Plumber who collects coins. If there was really a plumber out there who collects coins,
he would be the man.
He really would.
What if, and he was Italian, his name was Mario?
And he has a sweet stash.
And he's, like, he's got a brother named Luigi. And then we realize we're all basically living in a video game.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I just, every once in a while, we get stories that are just bright and happy.
Yeah.
I like to highlight those stories. These are the stories that stay with you. They cling to you and they don't let you go. Flies are annoying, am I right?
Hey, you are right.
Tumbu flies, or tumbu flies, they're creepy and disgusting. What's a tumbu fly?
I was just about to ask that.
Why? It's a fly whose larva feeds on living human tissue.
Oh.
Yes, living. As in, not dead. As in, a guy in China was found to have 20 maggots living under his skin after he complained of sore and itchy blotches on his body.
Okay.
The man had spent 6 months working in Africa. When he returned home, he went to see local doctors about his itchy skin, but his condition did not improve. He endured the itching for another 2 weeks before seeing a dermatologist. The dermatologist examined the man's sores and determined that maggots were nestled underneath the skin of his abdomen and right thigh. The man later underwent a minor surgical procedure to extract a total of 20 wriggling live maggots from his body. He can thank a tumbu fly for giving him, gifting him with the creepy maggots. Doug.
That's good, man.
We got to get some of those flies and put them in Mitch's office.
Oh.
That would be an excellent prank. It would just stay with her. Literally.
Oh.
It would really get under her skin.
Okay. Wow. It would just
hit the traffic bumper.
Okay.
There's an accident to... there was an accident. It's gone. But the off-ramp is closed. I-40 West at San Mateo Boulevard. I believe there was an accident around here earlier.
Okay.
So be careful. Off-ramp is closed. I-40 West at San Mateo Boulevard. Also, we have construction at I-25 in Paseo. On the eastern side of 25, Paseo westbound is stacked. You're down to about 1 mile an hour. All of that because of the construction. The frontage road on I-25 north at Paseo is closed. And we have road construction. The roadway reduced to 2 lanes. Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard southwest. That's your look at traffic. Big time. It's time for us to all go to sleep.
Oh. Wait, no birthdays with Doug!
Oh,
yeah.
Wake up to that sound, sweet babies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dougie.
How are you guys doing?
Tired.
Fantastic. I think we're finally getting rid of the dogs, guys.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I think we are.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
They just pee in their dogs and we hate them.
That's what they do.
I think we're going to stick with plants. They don't pee all over the house.
Yeah, but you've seen the happening.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're getting rid of both?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Is this a on the way to work decision? Because those don't usually hold up in the afternoon. I've noticed.
It's true. It's true.
Today, November 6, 2014, day 310. There are 55 days remaining.
Man, we are down to the wire of 2014.
Yeah.
Guys, Christmas is right around the corner. You can feel free to get me a gift. Just think about it.
Yeah. Don Henley.
Nope.
Eagles.
Joe Walsh.
Nope.
Other guy in the Eagles.
He's one of the founding members of the Eagles.
The Shining.
Musician, singer, songwriter, producer, and actor.
Jack Nicholson.
Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey.
Frey.
Glenn Frey. Glenn Frey. What was he in?
Tequila Sunrise. Already Gone. Lion Eyes. New Kid in Town. Heartache Tonight.
There's a new kid in town.
Yep, what he said.
Okay.
Yep.
How old is he? Stevnia.
68.
67.
66 years old.
I'm going to get one today. I'm determined.
You are so close.
I haven't gotten any this week, I don't think. Wait. Ooh.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise?
Nope.
No.
Jean Reno.
Ooh, nope.
Jean Reno. Ving Rhames.
Nope.
Scooter McKeegan.
She played Linda in The Pursuit of Happiness. And Nia Nordoff-Hall.
And who?
Nia Nordoff-Hall in Mission Impossible.
Oh. Oh.
Nia.
Oh. Is that the one he ended up marrying?
I remember Mission Impossible 2.
Come on.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, the second one?
Mission Impossible 3 is directed by J.J. Abrams.
That was a great
and
movie.
And is awesome.
She was Christine in Crash.
Crash was a great movie, but I don't remember it.
I don't remember.
Thandie Newton.
Thandie Newton.
She is 50.
42.
42 is correct.
Yeah. You stole it from me. I'm so happy.
You're going to get one this week,
buddy. No, I'm not. I don't care anymore.
Right here. You're going to get it right here. It's Jack Nicholson.
Nope. An American actress and former fashion model.
Cyndi Lauper.
Best known for a role as Mystique.
Oh, Rebecca St.
Yes.
Rebecca Romijn.
Rebecca St. James? Is that what I was saying?
Yeah, probably what you're
Is that say. What I was saying?
I think so.
Okay. I apologize to everyone for being an idiot. I'm sorry.
Rebecca Rodgman.
She used to be a Stamos.
Yeah.
But you know what? She didn't want a Stamos there. She wanted to get out.
Now she's an O'Connell.
Oh, she's an O'Connell now?
Oh, that's right. She married Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm glad something good happened to that guy.
Kush.
What is that?
Kush Lash. Kush.
I feel like that's a drug reference.
No, dude. Jerry Maguire. Wait. He was Kush and Jerry Maguire, and then he was Trip McNeely.
Yeah.
Trip McNeely.
He was also in Can't Hardly Wait.
That's Trip McNeely.
I'm sure you wear your shower shoes.
Yeah.
He's in a ton of movies. Because it was he and his brother.
Dude.
And Can't Hardly Wait. Do you remember that?
Gosh.
They were twins. They were hanging out.
No, that's the new guy.
What?
His brother's the new guy with him. Yeah.
Trip McNeely, he was the college kid. And
he shows
came
up
back
at like
to
the
Mike.
Very, very
end. And like gives Mike the big lesson about, you know, like not being the quarterback.
Okay, and the new guy, both brothers are in the movie. And you're like, what are they doing in this movie?
Yes. Okay, all the way back to Rebecca Romijn, who is 46.
51.
42.
Oh.
Again. I want everybody to be older than they are.
Next up, an American actor, writer, and director. He was in Explorers, Dead Poets Society, White Fang, and Midnight Clear.
White Fang!
Generation X, Before Sunset, and then he was in Training Day.
Yeah, is it Ethan Hawke's birthday?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Ethan Hawke!
Yeah.
Nice.
He was the White Fang kid.
White Fang.
Okay. It's Ethan Hawke's birthday, Chrissy.
Guess, Steve-O, so I can piggyback off your guess and maybe get it right.
Well,
it's a strategy.
He was a kid in
White Fang.
And Dead Poets Society, right? So I'm going to say maybe 8 to 10 years older than I am. So I'm going to go with 46.
43.
44.
I said 8 to 10.
I don't
I said
add.
8
When people
to
tell me
10.
Numbers, I just think about other things.
I wish I had said 44.
I do too. Tobey Maguire.
Nope.
Kirsten Dunst.
Nope.
James Franco.
Go a little bit up a little more in the Spider-Man films. More recently.
Emma Stone.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
This is the old Spider-Man, though. This is Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
There's like 18 million Spider-Men.
No, there's not. There's a few. There are a few of them.
There's the cartoon Spider-Man. There's Spider-Pig.
You look up the Amazing Spider-Man, and that's when you'll get the one.
Emma Stone.
She was in Superbad.
She was in Superbad. She was in Zombieland.
Yeah.
She's in Birdman.
Easy A.
Dude. Easy A. That was a great movie.
I thought it was good, too.
Yeah. I thought I was going to hate it.
And the funny thing about some of those movies is they have incredible points.
Yeah.
They just wrap the incredible point in a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was also in The Help.
Yes. And that movie was excellent. Did you see The Help?
Mm-mm.
Woo! It made me cry. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt moved. That movie moved me.
Yeah?
Yes.
It was a movie.
They filmed it in Mississippi. Actually, they filmed it. There's a cafe in that movie that is literally 5 minutes away from my little sister, where she lives. And when we played in Fondren, Waverly did, we walked across the street and ate in that cafe.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
It's like an old diner that's from the 50s and 60s. It's still there. They still do milkshakes. They still do sodas and stuff.
And segregation.
They still segregate the...
Emma Stone
is true.
28 years old.
Classic Mississippi. Emma Stone is 26.
26 is correct.
Yeah! I got a good one!
You did. You did.
Bless the Lord, oh master. You didn't.
I didn't.
Dummy.
Wait, I know this.
Matt Damon.
Nope. Not that movie.
Bum, bum. Is this Truman little, Show?
Nope. A little bit dun, further dun, back in the 90s.
Dun, 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 dun. What?
Go back to Alabama.
Oh, is this?
Wait, I know this movie.
Is this Forrest Gump?
Oh, okay.
It is.
Is it Tom like, Hanks' birthday?
No. Sally Field.
Yes.
Woo!
She was also in The Amazing Spider-Man.
She was also in Smoking the Bandit.
Mrs.
She was also
Doubtfire.
Gidget. Aw, man. I love Forrest Gump.
I mean, it's no Princess Bride.
I was about to say, you remember that time you tried to convince people Princess Bride was better than Forrest Gump?
Those were dark days.
Dark days. In the early days of the show.
Princess Bride is way better!
No, it's not. Okay, so, Sally Field, how old do you think she is? Because she's getting up there.
Yeah. 65.
67.
She is 68 years old today.
I got Emma Stone. Right, I'm good.
You're right there.
I'm good to go.
On two dates. On this day in what year? James Naismith, the inventor of basketball, was born in Ontario, Canada.
1921.
1915.
1861.
Okay.
Wrong century.
Yeah.
On this day in what year? Cleveland Browns owner Art Modell announced plans to move the team to Baltimore.
Yes, you love this.
I do.
Doug, why do you like Baltimore so much?
Charm City.
Charm City? Have you been to Baltimore?
Nope. Nope.
That's what I thought.
Oh, the Ravens. This was like in 90... No, wait. Man, I'm going to say...
And then the following year, they drafted their number one pick, Ray Lewis.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm like, okay, hold on. That can't be that. The Ravens! I'm just going to say 96.
98.
1995.
Ah, dang it!
Man, you were close, man.
Hey, man.
Right there.
96 was the year in which they drafted Ray Lewis.
Dang it. Stupid.
On this day in one year, billionaire Republican Michael Bloomberg was elected in New York City, and shortly after that went completely crazy.
I like that.
Mayor Bloomberg, 2002.
Tell him.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, yeah. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York.
Yeah. When do you go crazy? Bloomberg.
This is when he went crazy?
No,
this is when he was elected.
Okay. Remember when he went crazy? I don't even know what we're doing right now.
2002. No, wait.
No, sorry. 2004.
2001.
Yeah.
You're right there, man.
The primary for that election was actually on 9/11.
Yeah.
Whoa.
See,
that's also the year I graduated high school. That's right, 2001. Some of you kids weren't even born yet. You jerks.
The number one song for today.
Love y'all. I love y'all.
Number one song today. Heartbeat.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No way.
Jesse McDermott's losing his mind if he's awake.
Favorite band. Oh, no. The news today. It seems my life.
I have a lot of really weird memories hitting me right now.
Change.
Ugh, gross.
I close my eyes.
When this song came out, I really liked this girl, and it was just
something
the worst.
Oh, that's so stupid.
You ever look back on relationships and be like, why did I even like that person?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ugh, that's what I'm... Ugh.
Without
oh, I just got a good memory. I liked her, and I was helping her babysit some kid, and the kid pooped up his back. And I wouldn't help. I like went in there and I was like, nope, I'm out.
That's the exact opposite of arms wide open.
Yeah.
It was. There are many jokes that can be made. Let me remember when this was.
Okay. I'm going to say, wait, arms wide open, which record was that from?
That's from Human Clay.
Was that their first?
Second?
Human Clay is correct.
Yeah.
Gosh. So that was their second record. Was this their first big hit?
No.
What was their first big hit?
The first big hit.
Higher? Okay.
But they had a hit on My Own Prison. Was it My Own Prison?
Gosh, I don't even remember. I just can't remember if this was already like huge. Were they already like big?
This is when, this song is what put them over the top.
Okay. Two.
Nope.
You're thinking 99?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to say 2000 anyways.
That's not right. Okay.
You're not right.
You're not.
You're a dummy.
Literally not right.
You're not right.
Let me remember this. 2001 graduated. 2010. Wait.
Oh, wait. I might be righter than you think.
You're not.
Yeah.
You said 2000?
Yeah.
1998.
2000 is correct.
Good job.
Today is Nacho's Day. It's
I'm glad you got the Creed answer right. You should be super stoked.
It's Men Make Dinner Day, and it's Saxophone Day.
Saxophone Day! Gosh, this is a way better song.
Yes.
This hit number one in my heart in, I don't remember when Homesick came out. 2006?
2009.
Dang it! Should have ended with Creed.
Yep.
Gone. Whoa. All right. It's Thursday. We got Theology Thursday today.
Yep.
It's exciting.
Successful.
We got Winter Jam. We got Flyleaf this weekend. We got to talk to Buck and Dex.
Yeah, we do.
We'll have them on.
We'll give them a call. Call them, boys.
Oh, man. And then we get news like this from Thebes. Phil Rudd, the AC/DC drummer, was just arrested for hiring someone to kill two people.
Saw that. BBC, yeah. Man.
What?
Yeah. He's definitely on that highway.
Okay.
Bless you, Doug.
Orange is the new Back in Black?
Ah!
Had to get one in there, too. All right. Right back for Team Awesome Morning.
AC/DC is an electrical current reference.
No. Static something.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Hey, howdy, hey! What's up?
Morning.
Good morning. Guys, we got some stuff to report. There's an accident, I-40 West at San Mateo. It's exit 161. Be careful around that. Also, traffic is starting to get a little bit congested around the construction at I-25 in Paseo. The frontage road, I-25 frontage road north at Paseo is closed. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Frontage road north at Paseo is closed. Also, if you're westbound on the eastern side of 25 and you're westbound on Paseo, that is pretty congested and very slow. We have construction at Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That roadway is reduced to 2 lanes. That's your look at traffic
right now.
Traffic brought to you by Flyleaf.
Yes. In fact, we're gonna figure out more about that. Traffic is actually brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road here in Albuquerque on the Calvary campus. 505-338-3669. Ask to talk to Walt because he's okay.
He's awesome. I got 3 shots in my Americano this morning.
I'm sorry. Ooh. Thank you, Baxter.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning!
Hello!
Good morning.
Mateo and Steve-O.
What's up, babies?
So you guys pumping up the show for us, the big Flyleaf show?
We're pumping up the show for this guy because he's playing bass in it.
Yeah,
right. Oh, playing bass for Old Man Shed.
Nice!
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's playing bass, so.
Yeah, you guys are going on right before Flyleaf.
I know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is going to be cool. People are excited.
I know! So we wanted to call because we need details, because
we need to clear some stuff up.
We're like, alright, you just gotta bring a case of food. And then we're like, wait, but tickets are $15. But wait, no, you gotta bring a case of food to these locations.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary and messy.
Well, yeah, so there's both. We have a limited amount of tickets for food and to buy. So
okay.
People can buy them through holdmyticket.com. Or at the door.
Right.
Or did you make a fart noise, Mateo?
No, that was Steve-O.
That was me.
Oh.
It's because that was muffling the non-calmness that's happening on our show.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, Steve-O, you seem a little wired.
Yeah, did you have extra Jolt Cola this morning?
I actually had a triple shot iced Americano this morning.
But hey, did you guys ever drink Surge?
Yeah, I totally did.
He's got a case.
Yeah,
in
somebody
his
bought
office.
Me a case of it.
You can still buy that? Yeah, it's like on Amazon, right? Material or something like that?
They reissued it.
It tastes
exactly the same.
Are you sure it's not 12 years old?
No, they only make like a certain amount now. They make a certain amount, and once they're out of it, they're out of it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's constantly sold out on Amazon. Coca-Cola actually is reproducing it, if you will.
Yeah, they're working
for
with
Amazon.
All right, let's steer things back to the important issue, okay?
Yes. That's right. How come you guys can't pee in public? Tell me about it.
Yes!
We also have these ticket stops, and people can go to 1041theedge.com, and they can find out where we're going to be tonight and tomorrow, where they can drop off a case of food, and we'll give you a pair of tickets.
Okay,
that's cool.
Oh, so a case of food gets you a pair of tickets.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That's a really... Okay, I like that.
Okay, and I posted the two ticket stops, the one for today and the one for tomorrow, on Static's Facebook page.
Sweet. Very good. That's awesome, guys.
Hey, how's the rehearsal going, Mateo?
It actually went pretty well.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it to, but
he had to drop his bass
well.
Down to like drop.
Yeah,
B.
I had to get it set up and all this crazy crap.
Yeah, because Old Man Shattered hasn't played for since 2007.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's been a while.
And we sound just like Stained. It's incredible.
I hope you don't mess up the national anthem your boy did.
So. Aaron Lewis, what was up with that,
not
bro?
Bad. Yeah.
But to be fair, if you're, I could sing the national anthem just fine right now. But if you're in front of the world,
that's when you get it.
You're
right.
At like Game 6 of the World Series, and you know everyone is watching you. Your nerves. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
You're missing one important point, Steve-O. It's because he was at the home of the world champions. So, if you took an Angels fan and put him in that same stadium, he probably wouldn't be able to speak either.
Hey, that's really weird because in 2002, I was actually at the World Series.
Is this a
where
sports
the
fight?
Angels kicked the crap out of the Giants?
I don't remember
the
that
World Series.
Yeah, that probably didn't happen.
I wasn't even going to go there. But
does anybody want to fight about comic books? Because I'll fight with you about them.
No, I just want to talk about the rich people. They can afford to go to the World Series.
Yeah. What's up with that?
It was my honeymoon, and it was a wedding gift. I paid $0.
Yeah. You know where I went on my honeymoon?
You where?
Sandals, Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
Just like Michael Scott from The Office.
Well, thank you for supporting the Cromos
putting there. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
Love you guys.
Later. We'll see you later.
Bye. Later. Every time we call them, it sounds like they're eating their phones.
That's good.
The microphones.
I like calling it because it's fun to decipher who the heck is talking.
It's Buck and Dex and Baxter from 104.1 The Edge.
Yeah.
They got a Take the Edge Off Hunger this Saturday.
Those are good dudes.
And it's easy. All you got to bring is a case of food.
You get a pair of tickets.
You get a pair of tickets. And it benefits the Storehouse, a homeless shelter, if you will, here in Albuquerque. They provide food for the homeless. And so you provide a case of food for the Storehouse. It's going to help somebody, and you get to see Flyleaf for free.
Yeah, with Thanksgiving up around the corner.
Yeah.
This is a great way to pitch in and help out the community.
And you're getting a show with Flyleaf.
Totally. So. And we are totally behind this thing.
Yeah, we're really excited about that.
So there are two places where you can get tickets, and they're specific to the day. So today it's at this 5809 Wantabo Boulevard Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow it's at 5000 Marble Avenue here in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
The info is on our Facebook. You can go there and check it out.
It's great. So there you go. Get there, check it out. And again, this Saturday, Flyleaf. We'll talk about it tonight at Winter Jam for sure. Because tonight is Winter Jam!
Tonight is Winter Jam.
Boys and Disciple are here. Trip Lee, of course, headlining the event. I'm really excited about Hillsong United.
Yeah. Tickets and Jeremy Camp.
Tickets are only $10 at the door.
And that... there's a few bands playing.
There's like 73 bands playing.
There's like four bands playing at least.
Winter Jam already started. It started already so that all the bands could play.
You know, they did all get to town yesterday so they could do tour rehearsal.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty crazy.
It's a machine, man.
Yeah, we posted all the details.
Yeah.
MyStaticRadio.com.
That thing is a machine. So if you're going to Winter Jam, we hope you have a lot of fun, and I hope that you will also consider coming to take the edge off hunger on Saturday.
Yeah, all the details for both, actually, at our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It is Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Theology Thursday coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with B-Nix and Pastor Jared Petro.
Oh, yeah, it is.
B-Nix is also a pastor. I just call him B-Nix.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh.
Play the zombie music, please.
Oh, no. Here we go.
We got a story to talk about.
It's November.
Actually, would you mind playing Thriller, please?
Oh, yeah.
The King of Pop won't be rising from the dead, but there could be several replicas. MSN News reports the King of Pop passed away in June 2009 from acute propofol intoxication.
They just announced that?
But in the years leading up to his demise, he paid millions of dollars to European scientists engaged in cutting-edge genetic research to create replicas of himself.
What?
This is what MJ did with his money. Michael's wish was that the replicas would be able to carry on his legacy after his passing, and he made safe deposits of his stuff in three different medical facilities around the world to be used if he died.
Whoa.
Director of the New York Center for Extraterrestrial Research, Michael C. Luckman, has made this claim, revealing the information was given to him by late celebrity fashion designer Andre Van Pierre, who designed stage costumes for Michael and his sister Janet, and was friends with their sibling Latoya.
He was friends with little MJ's run around,
dude.
Clones of Michael Jackson.
I'll say this: if there was one person in the world that I wanted cloned, it would be Michael Jackson. I'm not kidding.
Why? So we can see him in concert?
Because think of all that we could learn from that. Michael Jackson was a prodigy when it came to pop music, okay? Uh-huh. Does that mean his clone will be equally as good or even good at the same thing?
I was just about to say, but what if it's totally different, like Multiplicity, where like the different clones were like different aspects of MJ?
He's the perfect example to use because he's a high-profile celebrity. He was, you know, cute King of Pop, but also freaking weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just, kind of,
you know. So do you think, like, if they clone him, he'll come out like Jackson 5 MJ?
See, that's what I'm wondering.
Start there, like young MJ?
This is great. We can totally, like, we have a wide spectrum. But is he going to be, like, pre all of that plastic surgery MJ?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to be off-the-wall MJ? Or is he going to be...
Because Thriller MJ was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was still awesome.
What am I thinking? Or is he going to be Blood on the Dance
Floor? Dangerous?
MJ. You know? Which was late.
Yeah.
Late in his career.
Yeah.
Which was when the face and
remember
the nose...
Remember, like, Black and White, the video came out? It was, like, a premiere on Fox. I remember, like, the world watching that. Music video premiere.
Michael Jackson.
And then he started, like, breaking cars and, like, dancing funky and doing stuff.
What's
and
he,
they were like...
What's he doing?
Why is he... What is
Michael
happening?
Jackson is mad. He is... Weird. Oh, he is just bitter.
It's weird. Yeah.
505-338-3700.
Yeah, somehow.
Oh my gosh, question of the day? Is it if you could clone any celebrity, who would it be?
Well, I know who I would clone.
Who?
I'm not saying yet. Static!
Every day, the most awesome, awesome topic.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Always.
That's just right, deep. But just the deep.
So the question I would have, though, for the Michael Jackson thing, is if we cloned Michael, would we have to clone his father?
No,
you know,
because maybe that was what was wrong.
We have to force him. We have to force the Michael clone.
No, dude.
Into performance.
We saw the Jacksons TV movie. We're not cloning that guy.
Oh yeah. See, that's maybe that was part of the problem. So if he had like a different upbringing, a different childhood, oh, we could see what happens if he was like raised in a healthy environment. Michael
have
Jackson.
Yeah, but it's like what is it, like Bach or Beethoven or one of them? I mean, pretty much like were they like products of of the craziness of their fathers and, you know, the nonstop training and all that? Was that like, you know, it's like, is that like in some parallel universe, was there a Michael who had an amazing father and he was better off for it, or he just didn't become famous because he wasn't like full of angst anymore, or what? How does that work?
That's why you gotta clone him.
You're talking nature versus nurture right now. That's the biggest quandary in psychology forever.
Yes.
What affects you more? Are you born with all of your screw ups, or is it your environment that forces them onto you?
I'd adopt a Michael Jackson.
You would.
I would
adopt your Michael Jackson. Get your very own Michael Jackson.
Yeah, get your very own. I'd adopt an MJ. You know, see if I could raise him up.
Just saying, if we were gonna clone anybody, that's the perfect scenario.
What?
I would, but no lie though. I'd have to agree though that would be the most interesting thing to see. The most interesting scenario, just because it's Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? Like, will every Michael dance the same? Or
yeah, would he be a better dancer?
No.
We don't know.
No, nope, there's no way.
Would he not be able to dance at all? Would he be a carpenter?
Could he be a break dancer? I mean, would the new Michael spin on his head?
Would he rather go into insurance sales?
He could
be a claim adjuster. Yeah. You know, maybe he would be the best. He'd be the king of claims.
Oh man,
not the king of pop.
Wow.
Thank you. Wow. Anyway, thank you guys. Thank you for the most awesome morning.
All right, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
There you go.
I want to give a shout out to my boy Matt.
Yeah,
Matt Hannum from the gym. He said he's watching us.
Oh, that's not creepy at all.
No,
he's
not a creepy guy, but it's getting, Matt, it's getting weird, buddy.
MyStaticRadio.com, we have this new multi-angle camera.
You need to work on it,
system
buddy.
System setup going on now, because it wasn't creepy enough before. Now
so
we've got
we went next level
angles.
Creepy. And yes. Speaking of creepy, who would you clone?
505-338-3700. Gosh.
What do you think? This could be a fun question of the day.
I guess.
This is why I legitimately think it would be good to clone Michael Jackson.
I've never thought about this.
This is why. It's because he was such a great artist and at the same time such a weird person privately.
But was it a product of his upbringing? Like,
exactly.
Would he be a totally different person?
That would be a huge step forward in the whole nature versus nurture debate. Because if you cloned somebody, well, you would have to get over the fact. There would always be the detractors. There would always be people that said, that's not a real person. That's a clone. So if you get around that somehow.
Yeah.
Philosophically. Then you could get into the psychology.
Do clones have souls?
Exactly. You could get into the psychology of what really made him. Was it his upbringing? Was he just wired differently?
Yeah.
You know? Would he be an incredible artist? Would he not be?
He'd be a painter.
I think the suckiest thing would be if he was just okay. He wasn't really good.
He was just mediocre.
He wasn't great. But he wasn't bad either. He was just kind of, he was like Daughtry. Just kind of floating around in the middle.
Welcome to GameStop. My Michael.
My Michael? Is that My Michael.
Let me know if you need any help with anything.
Not even that.
I'm assistant manager of a video game store.
He's got a side job. He's like, but I also go on tour. I'm going on tour this fall. It's going to be cool, man. I'm playing to small theaters, dives.
Before anybody who works at GameStop calls in mad at me, I used to work at GameStop.
He did.
So.
He used to work at GameStop.
It's okay. Don't be bummed. I was in upper middle management at GameStop.
He used to run that town tonight.
Oh, 505-338-3700. Static!
Bearded Michael Jackson.
Yes! See?
Super huge, long leg, massive limb beard, flannel shirt, overalls. With the little beanie cap at the top, Michael Jackson.
No, like, this is weird.
Hipster MJ, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying like Austrian Alps of like super high up there. And he's just so cold. So like that high pitch sounds so good. Michael Jackson.
Yeah. There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if he's black or white. He's up there and he's got a beard.
That's right.
And it's going to be beautiful.
I
love you both.
I love you.
Willie, I love you so much. I love you so much, man.
I'm just saying, man. Isn't that like the ideal that we all really had? That's what we're all going for when we're talking multiplicity.
Is that Michael Jackson, though? It's like
Willie, who would you clone? Who would you clone?
Who would I clone?
Yeah.
Can I combine two people together?
Yes.
Can I, like, mix
it's
their
a
stuff
clone.
Together
you can do whatever you want.
All right, I want a combination of Blake Shelton and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh my gosh!
What? Right, someone who loves Jesus and is a good person, but he drinks a little, and he can act and he can sing, and he really doesn't care about a whole lot, but he's good at life. That's what I want.
Just happened. Well, he just went next level on us. That's what just happened.
There's nobody else can answer this question because that was the answer, apparently.
That was the answer, right? If you had a combination of Matthew McConaughey and Blake Shelton, and then he's going to go save the world in Interstellar that I'm going to go see, you guys should come with me. Let's go.
Oh, Willie, that would be so much fun. Stoked on that movie.
I want to see it.
It kind of makes you think, though. Like you're driving around.
Oh, man. The only thing he doesn't do too well is everything Blake Shelton does. And so you throw them together. It's amazing.
The only thing Blake Shelton can do well is talk over Adam Levine.
Oh, man, but he's funny.
And he's hilarious, though. Yeah.
And he's a great, like, country artist.
He's a country dude.
Like, his voice is amazing for what he does.
My name is Doug.
I'm just saying.
And he's a funny dude. Like, he's not going to put up with anything that doesn't really matter.
He is the funny
guy. And he has a great time. He's good at the whole life thing. He's good with his wife thing. Yeah. He's got it down.
Yeah. I like it.
Me gusta. You guys gusta. And then so we just get those two together. And
there you go.
And then someone figures out how to make that clone and... Then we put him with bearded Michael Jackson, and
this is the oddest question of all time.
This is a great question.
This is the dumbest.
Thank you,
Willie. Love you, Willie.
I love you guys. Have an excellent day.
You too. 505-338-3700. Apparently, MJ, before he passed away,
and these are all allegations,
sold his body to science.
He sold his body to the science.
To the science.
I believe in science.
So that they could clone him if he ever died. This is all speculation.
This is speculation. It's coming from basically an extraterrestrial guy.
We found an article in Austria that says, MJ.
Doug, I hate this. I don't know,
Breaking news. Are you ready? I just saw that. Like,
play the creepiest thing you can find. Oh, gosh. It's not creepy. It's terrifying. Discovery Channel has found its next extreme stunt. A man will be eaten by a giant anaconda snake.
Oh.
That is my hell.
What?
Straight up.
What is happening with reality? It's like they just got to come up with the next craziest thing.
In Eaten Alive, naturalist and wildlife filmmaker Paul Rosalie will be consumed by an anaconda while in a custom-built snake-proof suit.
Okay.
Discovery is keeping some of the details quiet for now, but has released these two promos, which I guess are on the website. We're told Rosalie covered himself in pig's blood to make himself appetizing to the snake.
Oh.
Since the snake-proof suit has a cord on the top of it, he's presumably pulled out of the snake's mouth after being eaten. We are also told the snake does not die. In case you're skeptical, a Discovery representative assures us that this announcement is not a hoax. So I guess they're not going to air this next to the mermaid special.
Right.
Eaten Alive has been filmed and will air Sunday, December 7th. One of the major broadcast networks was quietly developing a very similar Eaten by Snake special last year titled Manaconda that never made it to air. Rosalie is the author of the book Mother of God, An Extraordinary Journey into the Uncharted Tributaries of the Western Amazon. The special comes on the heels of Discovery's last death-defying stunt, Nick Walenda drawing 5.8 million viewers Sunday night while taking a tightrope stroll between two Chicago skyscrapers.
You got it. I believe in you.
It comes at a time when cable networks are struggling to find new reality concepts to hook viewers. Here are the Eaten Alive teaser promos.
Cue Nicki Minaj. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think that we finally just got into a place in reality TV where we're out of ideas, so it's like...
They're just... What if we filmed a dude getting eaten by a snake? Who's down?
Hey, you know what? Let me build this snake-proof suit real quick.
Scientist standing goes, funny thing, I've actually built a custom snake-proof suit, and I've been waiting for an opportunity to try it, and I would be willing to do this. For a nominal fee.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at this. Good.
Nope. Oh, no.
Guys, this makes me really upset.
And we have officially run out of ideas for reality TV.
That's a giant giant snake. I understand that many people have questions, Rosalie wrote on his website. All I can tell you now is that my work is based around the fact that wildlife and ecosystems today, across the globe, are at a critical moment. Because a petition has been issued on change.org calling on Discovery Channel to pull the plug, that the petition says this is animal abuse to the highest degree and absolutely disgusting, and this could kill the snake. An adult green anaconda cannot fit the width of an adult man's shoulders into its body. Rosalie said he has to go in head first. Man, I'm upset about this on a couple of levels. Number one, what the heck is he doing?
Right.
Number two, maybe it does hurt the snake. I have no peaceful feelings towards snakes. But the Christian inside of me, it says, hey, first job. Take care of the world. Take care of the animals. Take care of the world. Like, back to Genesis.
Yeah, you know.
And so, is that taking care of that snake? No.
Well, according to the guy, he says, if you're worried about animal cruelty, he says, I invite you to research my work by reading my book.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Here, if you want to know more about how...
then ask yourself, would this person ever hurt an animal, end quote?
Good grief.
This is terrible.
I think we've hit the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is... I don't watch TV much, you know.
These are reasons why I don't watch much TV.
We don't have cable.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for comic book shows.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yep.
I watch New Girl. Funny shows.
I don't think I'll be watching this. Inevitably, I'm going to end up
watching
this.
I'm not
watching
it. No. I'm not supporting it. No, Discovery
You
Channel.
Say that now.
I won't.
December 7th, you're going to be at my house.
I'm not watching this show.
Oh, we're watching.
You'll watch me get up and go in the other room and sit there and play on my phone.
What's the difference between this and, like, Shark Week? We watch Shark Week.
Yeah.
And it's all like, hey.
Do you remember the last time that guy got eaten by that shark on Shark Week?
No.
Exactly. It's probably because the shark would destroy a person.
Yeah. Yeah, but I built a shark-proof suit.
And that's what makes me weird about this, because that's right. That anaconda can't. It can't consume a person.
Yeah. Like Normally they wrap them up, right? I saw the movie.
The logistics of it don't work.
Well, technically, though, that snake did eat John Voight.
Yeah, but Jennifer Lopez lived.
Yeah. I think Ice Cube lived, too.
Probably.
And what was the first ever black rapper dude to live in a horror movie?
That's true. I didn't think about that. Breaking down stereotypes.
Today was a good day.
Today was a good day.
Ice Cube didn't die, y'all. Oh, we gotta take a break.
Do you think that's gonna be successful?
Of course it is. It's a stunt.
The tightrope walk is a completely different animal, if
literally,
you will, than this. You know, because I could see people like kind of like, oh, is he gonna fall? Is he gonna fall? But this is like,
oh, is he gonna die? Is he gonna die?
By snake eating the... And is he gonna kill the snake? You know, like if the guy falls off the tightrope, he's not gonna kill the rope.
Right. Maybe a person underneath staring up at him.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
But I think they only put the enemies under him, just in case.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm willing to bet if I go home and say, Jack, Luke,
no,
there's a show coming up in December...
It.
Where a guy's going to get eaten by an anaconda. You honestly think my boys aren't going to be like, what? We have to watch that.
That sounds cool. And that's how you want, that's what you want your kids to see when they're young. So that when they're old, who knows what they'll come up with. I've got an idea.
All right.
What we're going to do, we're going to peel the skin off of a person.
Okay.
And then we're going to put it back on. Reality TV. Welcome to 2036. We've got the technology. The science is sound.
Oh, man. Static.
We still have to watch that. Oh.
Oh, no.
Yep, you did it.
Yep,
you did
yep.
this.
Yep.
Jack, you. No. No.
Yep.
Jack, don't do this.
Yep.
You really want to watch a show where a dude gets eaten by a snake?
Heck yeah.
I can't wait to see what these kids are doing when they are in control of the world.
This is the worst idea ever.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Man. All right, maybe if it was a little kid. Like, I could understand an anaconda.
You want to watch a kid get eaten by a snake? Who are you?
I just mean for the anacondas' safety. Jack, yes. If I bought you a snake-proof suit, would you get eaten by an anaconda for reality TV?
No, but I would love to see someone else get it.
Right. That's the world we live in. I mean, not me, but I'd love to watch that guy get eaten by a snake.
Not me.
Who's that guy? That guy with the face.
My world is the right world that I live in. And my world is not the stomach of an anaconda.
Yeah,
there you go. That is crazy, Jack.
Come on. What if I could build you a shark-proof suit and we could do a new Discovery Channel special where you get eaten by a great white?
Give one to Matt, too. We'll both go.
Okay. You'll both go.
Hey, Jack, you know what? If I ever get super rich, which is probably going to happen, me and you are going to go down to Australia, and we are going to go in a shark tank.
There you go.
Well, the first part of the story...
Like in a cage.
Yeah.
Ooh. The first part of the story, I didn't really think that would be,
real?
If you would ever... Yeah.
What, the me getting rich part?
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that won't happen.
Yeah.
But maybe someone will gift us with that. Maybe a lucky...
When you get rich...
Yeah, when you get rich,
remember
Jack,
us.
Remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jack.
Yes, yes. Thank you, son.
Okay.
Write it on the calendar when we get home, December 7th.
Tell Luke that me and him are not going to watch the snake show. We're going to go do something else.
Anaconda eating human. You and me, son. You and me.
Yep, we're going to watch it.
I love you, 11-year-old.
Love you, too.
All right, have a great day.
You, too.
Okay, bye.
December 7th, isn't that the day that Pearl Harbor got bombed?
Yes.
What
the day
is
that
happening?
Will live in infamy. December 7th, 1941.
Let's give it more infamy. Let's air a special about a man getting eaten by an anaconda. That makes me uneasy.
You're going to watch it.
I will not
You
watch
are going to watch it. You're going to be at my house. Oh, don't do it. Don't life goal it.
Life goal.
Oh,
never watching it.
Right.
No, it's settled. Oh, I will be in the other room.
Ugh.
Relaxing, playing guitar. It'll be nice.
Don't worry, guys, I'll watch it.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm watching it for science. It's really for the show. It's research. Totally.
If you watch this, they're going to make more dumb stuff like this.
I know.
Man gets eaten by spider. Okay. Oh, gosh. What if they did one where they intentionally put spider eggs inside of a person?
What if they did one where they did a radioactive spider and then they let it bite a guy to see what would really happen?
And then it's 6 weeks later and he's dead.
That didn't go as planned.
Didn't go. And they're like, well, we're going to try again next season on Radioactive Spider. No!
We got to take a quick break. Coming back, Bad Sons. We got some Thrice in there. And, of course, 8 o'clock hour, which means the Aspen Project.
Yeah, we got a Shroff coming in.
We'll be joined by a Shroff. That's on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, howdy. Hey, everybody. It's your boy, Mateo. We got some things to report. For your traffic, there's an accident. The left lane's blocked. Unser Boulevard south at I-40. Also near Rio Rancho, we have an accident. Left lane's blocked. Highway 528 south at Ellison. That'll be a little bit of a mix-up for your early morning commute. We have construction at I-25 in Paseo. And I-25 Frontage Road north at Paseo is closed due to construction. If you are eastbound on Paseo right now, it's moving pretty well. Pretty good. Not that slow. But there is some congestion to report over at 40 westbound near Eubank in Wyoming, in that part of town, which is where I'll be tonight because we have to practice again. And then we have road construction. The roadway reduced to 2 lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Welcoming into the show, our boy Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man.
Love this weather.
Yeah?
I do.
It's freaking cold.
Yeah, but it warms up during the day.
Yeah, that's true. No, actually, you know what? That's why I hate it. Because I wake up before the sun, and I put on 7 layers of clothes. And by the time I'm driving home from work, I'm in a t-shirt, and half my laundry is in the backseat.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird out here.
It is.
Somebody was when Golden Youth came through the other night, they were asking about how the weather was because it was cold.
Yeah.
And I was telling them they were going to Phoenix. And I was like, you guys, it's about to be 90-something in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. And they were like, what's it like here? And I told them about, like, the 40-degree difference between the morning and the afternoon and then the night.
See, as long as you're not in the shade. If you're in the shade, you will freeze.
If you love layers, Albuquerque is the place for you.
Yes. Yes. Layers upon layers upon layers. Or you just have a really cool leather jacket like Clay does.
My wife loves me.
Yeah?
She bought this for me.
That's a rad jacket. It's like a Wolverine jacket.
It is.
It really is.
I am Batman.
No, you're Wolverine. That's Wolverine.
I am Wolverine.
It's totally different. Are you watching Gotham?
No.
Ah, you would love it. I think you would.
I think I would.
It's really good. It's really good. Hey, so for those just joining us, talk a little bit about the Aspen Project and
November 16th.
Yes.
November 16th, we are having a church challenge, and we are challenging New Mexico, but especially the Albuquerque area, to come out and learn how they can get involved imprinting Christ on a child's heart.
Yes.
And it's anything from, we have CareNet Pregnancy Center going to be there. We have Holt Adoption, Internet Adoption International or something like that. They're awesome. They go around the world adopting kids. They're the largest in the world.
Wow.
So they're awesome. We have our local Adoptions Plus. We'll have Children, Youth, and Family there. We're going to have, let me just think, Reload Love will be there. And
nice.
You know, they go out and are helping kids in very war-ridden areas. Just touching kids where they are. We're going to have Life Quest. They go into the juvenile detention centers and minister to the kids there and are changing lives.
Yeah.
You know, what's really cool is we had John on our sister station yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's with Life Quest, and he was talking about a young lady that spoke at their event. And I said, did you know that that girl also went through Project Zoe? And it's really cool to watch this young lady who is being mentored by different ministries who have all come together and joined hands.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. We got a lot going on. Friends of the Fatherless will be there. It is an event that if you are a church or somebody who wants to get involved in the life of a child, we're giving multiple opportunities to do it. And it's a Calvary. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're a church, get someone there. Let's start some of these ministries in yours, or you can just join with them. Most of these ministries are independent of any church. So we're self-standing, or we're whatever you want to call that. And we're more than glad to let you copy everything we got and just start your own. It's all about getting these kids to heaven.
Yeah, and that'll be going down Sunday, November 16th on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. What time is that at?
That's at 1:30. It'll probably run until about 2:30. We're going to speak, you know, you're going to hear speakers for about 45 minutes to an hour max. And then there's an hour to an hour and a half of just getting together with the ministries and seeing how you can plug in. If you're a ministry and you do something similar, you feel that you could add to this type of body, please come out and introduce yourself and network.
Yeah.
But the church, we need the church body to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Static Radio will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me just tell you, just to toot Static's horn for a minute, I have to talk to so many of the youth that, you know, really are not being embraced by the cult today's church culture.
Yeah.
And Static is reaching out, and even though you guys are a little edgy, because you are, and you know, you ride that line sometimes. The truth is that you guys love Jesus Christ, and you stand on the firm foundation of the salvation message. And I am so appreciative of that, because when you get out there, I think as the church really, really gets out and touches and feels these at-risk youth, that we belong to a different generation. And even though the gospel message will never change, and the Bible is always relevant.
Yeah.
How we approach today's generation needs to be different.
Yeah.
And you watch, the next Billy Graham is going to have tattoos and piercings. And I really firmly believe that. Yeah. We have a generation that needs Jesus Christ. And thank you guys. And that's why we partner with you guys every week. And we are so thankful that you give us that platform.
Absolutely. We love it, and again, it's coming up Sunday, November 16th. We posted details, facebook.com/mystaticradio, and if you would like more information on the Aspen Project as an organization, talk about what you guys do day in and day out, because for those that don't know, you guys do a lot in this community.
You know, we really started as an adoption
connection for folks, for people of faith. And it turned into the foster care. So we help recruit for children, youth, and family, for the Bear Foundation, pretty much anyone that's out there that is taking in these neglected and abused kids that really, really, really need agape love. And the only people who really understand that are Christians. Mm-hmm. We do some mentorship programs like our Project Zoe. We fly around the world. We pick one or two projects a year and put a team together and go work with some of the orphanages or the at-risk kids around the world. The last few projects, we've done El Salvador, Costa Rica, Puerto Vallarta. We're looking, you know, it's all in the work stage. We're looking at building some safe homes there. But who knows? You know, we team with the Reload Love. Hopefully, yeah. I'm doing some traveling with them, and I'm super stoked. Just great organizations. We don't recreate the wheel. What we do is we plug you, the Christian community, into existing organizations. Sometimes we stand outside the late-term abortion clinic with a bunch of youth with signs that tell the young ladies that we love them,
right,
and that God loves them. We stand out there on Fridays. Fridays is when they are there to collect the already terminated babies. And we stand out there for a reason, because we feel that the young ladies that are going in, that their souls, we want them to know that they have a God that can love and forgive them, and that they have Christians out there that understand that we all make some pretty bad mistakes. And, you know, we point them towards places like CareNet that do post-abortive counseling for men and women.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, we're pretty active. And the cool thing is that we're active because there are other ministries who are leading the charge. Hmm. So a lot of times we get behind them, and with our synergy and with our people, we press forward. I have a new t-shirt line that we put out every quarter.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It is supposedly done. I'm super, super stoked. It's kind of a little different this time, and I'm pretty happy about it. Okay. So those will be out probably in the next week.
Okay.
So, and then we come on like Static Radio and let people know that the kids in this generation need us as a mm-hmm. Christian community. And I want to challenge you guys to, God has commanded us to care for the fatherless, the widowed, the orphans, the strangers. And every single one of those are people who truly in their age, when he gave that command, did not have a voice.
Yeah.
If you are not involved in a ministry caring for somebody who truly needs you, you need to get off your couches and do it.
Yeah.
And don't give me the excuse of time. Don't give me excuses.
Yeah, you guys have 10 kids, bro.
I know.
Yeah. You guys are doing a lot. It's amazing. You have excuses for days. And
you know what? God has commanded us.
God, yeah.
And we got to do it. And I'm going to tell you, the rewards are huge. And you get to see amazing things happen. And if we care for today's generation, if they know that they have a God that loves them, our future as America is a lot brighter than if we just let them go down the path that they're going.
Yeah. Amen to that. There you go. The Aspen Project. Details available, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We posted everything again, November 16th. A church challenge on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. You can check out the details at our Facebook page. Find out more. Be here Sunday, November 16th, Calvary Albuquerque, after the third service. Just come hang out. Come to third service.
Woo!
Come to the 11:15 and then, or the 11 o'clock service, and be like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to rock a service, and then I'm going to stick around for the Aspen Project and all the other rad ministries that are going to be here. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Dunzies.
Dunzos.
All right. Coming up, we got some King Baby James, some Fallout Boy. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Thanks for always hanging.
These guys just announced they're going on tour with Papa Roach.
Whoa.
I'm actually hoping for an Albuquerque date. I would love to see Islander.
Yeah.
So, Islander, legit. Brand newest. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Let's take a look, quick look at traffic. We had construction I-25 in Paseo. I-25 Frontage Road North at Paseo is closed due to construction. We have an accident Bridge Boulevard at 2nd Street Southwest. Also an accident. Left lane is blocked. Unser Boulevard South at I-40. We have road construction. The roadway reduced to 2 lanes. At Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. I want to ask our caller real quick. Dave, how's traffic in Nashville?
Right now, it's pretty clear on Royal Oak South. There's a Lexus in front of me. They're probably rich, and they're just probably just cruising around. And there's an American flag in the background.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about. What are you doing,
Dave Lee?
I'm good, dude.
Dave.
I'm good.
Dave.
We miss you, man.
I miss you, Dave.
I miss y'all. Listen, I just got through pulling a 13-hour overnight shift at work.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going to call my friends on the way home.
Yeah. And you had to be on hold for a long time.
Okay. I was thinking, I wonder what they're talking about today. What's the theme of today's show? I don't know. I'm about to find out.
Well, I'll tell you right now. Yeah. Earlier, we were talking about how supposedly Michael Jackson, before he died, he farmed out some of his sperm to these different...
Yeah.
Like doctors around the world in hopes that they would clone him.
What sperm?
We don't know. We're still figuring that out.
Dude, that's crazy. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, the guy that reported it is like a extraterrestrial expert. So it's kind of like, don't know.
Yeah.
I believe it. And I hope they do it. I love Michael Jackson.
Me
too.
Yeah. Me too. Waverly, when are you moving here? When are you going to move here? Look, we got two members of Waverly now in Albuquerque.
Really? Yeah.
But bands aren't bands without the lead singer. So you moved to Albuquerque.
Really?
And then
I can just start.
I'll start convincing you guys to start doing stuff. And then you never know where we'll go from there.
Well, look, I'm going to come out and visit in probably January.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll see what
happens. Come visit. Hey, oh, what was I going to say? Yeah, we're going to see Saturday night if bands are bands without the lead singer, because Jamie and I are playing with Old Man Shattered with Flyleaf.
Yep.
And Flyleaf has a new singer. Her name, we're not sure. The old singer's name was Lacey, so I'm calling this new one Rip Lacey.
Yes.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
I came up with that myself.
Oh, man.
I came up with that myself.
So how's the overnight? Yeah.
It was really cool to the very end when this girl decided to pull some attitude on me, and she was like, "What's happening with the boxes, Dave? Why the boxes in my room, Dave?" Yeah.
I was like,
"What's this about? 12 hours, and now we're going to ruin it? But I'm going to go to sleep."
Gosh, 12 hours. Dave is a stock manager at a very lame retail store.
Stop it. Stop it.
But I'll tell you this. Hey. If you get stuff from there, then you will be forever young.
Forever,
or at least forever legal.
Yeah.
That wasn't too bad. It was two nights in a row, and now I'm off for the weekend, so I'm gonna record some music.
Yeah, some music.
Weekend.
Music.
Yeah, Dave, tell everybody what you're working on.
Yeah, Dave, really tell us.
Dude, I'm working on a solo record.
Booyah!
Right now. I just bought some musical equipment, and I've been messing around with it. And I think I wrote probably the saddest song I've ever wrote in my life 2 nights ago.
Good.
But I'm happy. I'm happy.
Here's what you need to do. Yeah, sad songs make you happy. Did you listen to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you hear us talking about that yesterday?
We were talking about that. There's actual scientific proof that sad songs do make you happier.
Yeah. Like
really?
When you're in a sad state, if you listen to melancholy or sad music, it can be a starting point to pick you back up.
Yeah.
Is melancholier a word? I like that.
Yeah.
Melancholier.
And the infinite sadnesser.
I listen to a lot of melancholy stuff, so. Somebody was making fun of me for that last night. They were trying to play, like, 90s pop music over the, like, our sound system.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I love pop music, but I just wasn't a 90s pop guy. Like, I was really into grunge. So they're like, well, what song are we going to listen to? Wrist cutter music like you do. Basically, they were saying, sorry, we're not as happy as you are in real life, right? Basically.
That's basically what they were saying there.
So,
definitely. Yeah. Here's what you need to do, man. All right, you work on your solo stuff. You need to call the project Daverly, and then the record should be called Better Than Regular Waverly. And so it'll be Daverly, Better Than Regular Waverly. And then everybody will be like, oh, that was a lead singer from Waverly. This must be gooder. It's going to happen.
Man, that's going to be real good.
You'll sell so many
records. That was knee slapping funny right there. I slapped my knee.
You will sell.
I slapped my knee.
You'll sell so many records, like 97 at least.
Dave, have you?
At least 97, which is one more than what we did in Waverly.
Amen. Amen.
Steven was going to say it.
Hey, did you check? Have you checked Twitter? Dave, have you checked Twitter the past few days?
Man, I don't even check Twitter anymore.
Okay. I had to send out a tweet from Waverly.
Oh, this is true.
Because I got an email from some dude somewhere, somehow, that Bands in Town website. They said Waverly has a show in Brooklyn, New York on November 14th. And it was our picture. Yep. Like the old, the old chandelier picture.
We gotta go. Was that yesterday?
Oh, no.
No, November 14th. No, it's the
14th. 14th, oh, 14th. Guys. So we gotta go. What am I doing?
We gotta book flights. Oh, no. Call Seth. Call Seth.
So basically, in order to get Waverly to reunite, all I have to do is put it up in Bands in Town that you guys are playing a show.
And then we'll be like, well, we said we'd play
it. Well, I guess we said
we
gotta be there.
We're men of our word.
Oh,
man.
Man
of our word. You
Christmas
know,
party at my house, in Waverly.
In our entire career, we skipped one show.
Really?
It was glorious.
It was the only time we ever decided, you know what? We're not going to this show.
What happened?
It was our final tour, and it was going to be a really crappy show. So we straight up, we were staying in Columbus, Ohio with a bunch of friends, and we were having a ball. So we called the wedding, and we called Satellites and Sirens and Pioneer, and we were like, hey, guys, we're having van trouble.
Oh, my God!
And they were like, what do you mean you're having van trouble? We're like, it won't start. They didn't know that what that meant was we wouldn't go out there and start the van.
Oh,
it was like, it won't
it's
start.
It's not a lie.
And we didn't go. We straight up did not go.
So your final, like, Waverly farewell tour, did the wedding and everybody else play that show?
They played, and they said it was awful.
Just like we predicted.
They knew. I remember Cody, next day, Cody came up, and he had this look on his face, and he's like, so van trouble, huh? I was like, yeah, man, it wouldn't start. It was the weirdest thing. Started the next day, though.
Man. There were a couple shows before that I almost didn't go on stage. Remember that?
Yep.
There was like just like a few people there, and I was like, what's the point, guys? What is it?
What's the point?
Dude, that was the end for us.
Yeah. You know what?
We had a really good run. How'd we get here?
How'd we get here? Dave, if you're doing new worship stuff, man, you got to remember it's for an audience of one.
Oh.
So...
I love that laugh.
That's why you go out there, man. That's why you go out there.
Dave, can you give Steve-O a little bit of help?
What's that?
Steve-O has, now, he has two dogs.
Ugh.
And they are having the biggest heap of trouble with
them. It's the worst!
And you have two dogs and a cat.
Yeah.
So I know you can help them out. Will you teach Steve-O how to make his dogs be calm?
This dog is stupid. The new one, I don't like it.
Just feed him.
No,
Dave, that's not real.
No,
that's not real advice.
Hey, you want to know something that I learned for real?
What?
Like, my dog Sonny is just crazy. Like, he's seriously on Zoloft.
Wait, which one's Sonny?
Sonny's the idiot. Sonny's
not the boxer?
And the other one.
I love the boxer.
The boxer is, she's so chill. She's the best dog.
Yeah, I love that. Sonny, that dog's awesome.
She's great. So Sonny, tan white dog, he's like a squirrel hunting dog. And he just runs outside and starts barking at, like, everything. It won't shut up, just his loud barks. So I run out, I just go, Sonny! Stop it! Like, he won't stop. So Summer was like, hey, when you do that, they think, well, you're barking, so I'm like, so what you got to do is you go out there, even though your blood is boiling at this point, you walk out there and go, Sonny, get inside, like that.
Ooh,
you really have a good air voice like that. So then if he doesn't listen, instead of raising your voice, you just get closer. You go, Sonny. It's like a calm assertiveness because he has to know, that guy's the boss. He's calm. He's not freaking out. I'm going to listen to what he says. And he's starting to come around a little bit.
That's good.
That's good news.
Sonny. I'm going to do that because we haven't named our dog. I'm naming my dog Sonny.
No?
So what kind of dog do you have?
It doesn't matter what its name is. If you just say Sonny, it listens.
Yeah. I've got a Sharpeagle. Indiana Jones is like this weird mix of, like, I don't even know what it is. It's like a
Indiana Jones.
You met Indiana. Okay, Indiana's cool. Kind of cool. And then we got this new puppy. I wanted to name her Gwen Stacy, and Chrissy hated that. And then I wanted to name her Claire Danes, and Chrissy hated that. And Claire Danes. This is my dog, Claire Danes. So she's a little puppy rat thing. It's the worst.
It's a yippy dog.
It's one of those little, like, you accidentally step on it and it squeaks like a toy.
It's very ugly.
Ugh, it's the ugliest dog. Jamie's wife, Christy, said it... I don't know if I can say that.
I don't know if you can either. She had a great description for it, though.
It looks like... Okay.
Just say it looks like a little person wearing like an Ewok costume, because it looks like a human in like weird skin, like, cuz it's like fleshy color. It's got human looking eyes, like these yellowish,
yeah, it's
like,
it's really weird.
It's the ugliest dog I have ever seen.
Oh man, how did you end up with that dog?
I don't know. Chrissy? I don't know. Yes, I do. It's Chrissy. It's Chrissy's fault. She's got this bleeding heart that just, like, reaches out to ugly things. That's why she married me.
And then Chrissy knows if she puts anything in front of Brody that's remotely interesting, it's staying.
It's staying, because Brody's just because
he freaks out and he's so cute. He goes, oh, and he loves it. And
he loves
it's like,
oh,
man, we can't take it away now.
I know. It's the worst. Oh, it's the ugliest dog, Dave. It's the ugliest dog.
I keep telling someone else, like, I really don't want another pet. I really don't want another pet. She's like, yeah, we're not getting another pet. And then she'll pause and go, unless it's a Great Dane. I'm like, that's like three pets.
Unless
like
it's a Great Dane.
More. And I know, like, every time I get a new pet, I say, it's cool, just I don't want them sleeping in the bed.
Right.
Guess how many of our pets sleep in the bed?
All three now.
Even the cat. And you're surviving?
Yeah. When I make Dune get up out of my spot, someone looks at me and goes, Dave. And I'm like, what's my spot on the bed? I drive a Dodge Stratus!
That's good stuff. Oh, David Lee, we miss you so much.
I miss y'all. Hey, I'll see you guys in January, man.
Yeah! I didn't even know. Now I'm
excited. Maybe you can come out and lead worship or something.
Ooh.
That would be great, man.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll make
it happen.
Yeah, we will.
We'll do some music.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Be a good time, man.
Nice music, man. Hey, man, you ever done that music?
Oh, man.
I've done it. Come down.
All right. I was just wondering. Miss you.
We miss you, y'all. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
I love that guy.
Sweet Dave.
Dave Lee.
He stayed on hold.
He did.
What a sweetheart.
Coming up next, we've got Theology Thursday with our bros B Nizzle.
Yep.
And
J Nizzle.
I was going to say J. Pizzle, because his last name is Petro, but that doesn't sound good.
That's funny.
Because Nizzle, it's because B. Nix, Brian Nixon.
Nah, I think we need to quit saying this.
Jarrett Petro.
I feel like we're going to get in trouble.
Really?
I just have this feeling like a storm's coming.
Okay.
Interesting.
Storm's coming.
Storm coming. Spider's coming.
Gosh. You want to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm waiting on you.
Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
And begin.
Good morning!
Hey!
Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
It is Thursday.
Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Yes, it is.
That's cool.
Steve Omateo, as always, and of course, Pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro joining us.
Pleasure being here. Pleasure being here, as always.
It's great to be here. You know, you were saying something about this Japanese, what is it, cartoons?
Anime?
Anime, that's it, yeah. And who are you again?
Lame.
I'm lame.
I'm lame.
You're not lame.
I'll tell you, look,
Mitch is lame. You're not lame.
What? No, because if she's lame, then I'm lame.
No, she knows more about it than you do. Yes, she does. Don't,
those are mine in there.
Don't ruin this for me.
I gifted those. Sorry.
Yeah, but you gave those to her because you knew she liked them more than you. That's why. Yes.
For her birthday one year, I actually got her the entire Cowboy Bebop like anime set.
Wow.
I know. We're nerds.
Doug, do you know what Cowboy
Bebop
is? She's
the only person that appreciates it.
I don't know what it is.
Sorry, guys.
It sounds like some kind of weird, like,
hey, very deep and theological.
While you guys are talking this stuff, you know, we have a guest.
Yeah.
What? In our studio, Pastor Landel Benally, out from the Rez, Navajo Reservation, and he was just sharing with us the cool news that a new little fellowship has popped up in Gallup, and he just showed me this amazing email from one of the congregants who was just blessed beyond measure. So if you're listening in Gallup or on the reservation, because this program is carried out there, we send a shout out to the new little church that started there in Gallup, and of course to all our listeners on the Navajo Reservation and all the different reservations, be it Pueblo or any that tune in. So God bless each of you.
Yes, cool. Dude. I just drove through there and was shocked at how much Gallup has grown. It's huge to me. And I know it's funny because when I talk to people like actually out there, they go, no, dude, it's tiny. And then I go, yeah, but I remember like driving through and missing it. And now you cannot miss Gallup. It's big. Like, it's expanded a lot.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, I'm excited that there are new fellowships and ministry growing in that area because obviously needed. So welcome all of our callers, whether online at mystaticradio.com, through our app, or, you know, the old-fashioned way, your radio.
Oh,
welcome to Theology Thursday, our one-hour call-in show centered around you. Maybe you read something in Scripture and you were like, what does that mean? Well, thankfully, we have a couple actual experts in studio this hour, not us.
Maybe you heard, maybe you saw or read an article on some website, and it was talking about some view of doctrine that you've never even heard of. That happens to me a lot. Yeah, like baptism or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. That snake thing. Yeah. So maybe it's a question like that. This is your time to email in or give us a call because these two dudes,
they know it all.
They've got the market cornered on what they know.
Everything, man. All knowledge, all wisdom.
I've been trying to tell my wife this for so long.
I know.
You guys.
505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. In all honesty, if you'd like to hang out with us, no question too weird, too out there. We have definitely gotten
some good ones.
Yeah. Some good ones in the past. So
and we have an interesting one about the use of medications and flu shots.
Yeah,
so let's start off with that guy.
I'm excited.
Okay, guys.
No.
This comes from a friend. I was in conversation with my sister about immunizations. We both grew up in the church, so we do have a biblical background. We talked about the Greek word for witchcraft, which is pharmakeia.
That's right.
Okay, or pharmacy. I was wondering if there is somewhere in the Bible that talks about this and what your take is concerning flu shots or immunizing your kids.
Mm. Well, first of all, great question. Appreciate you sending that in via the World Wide Web.
By the email.
And you're correct. The word is pharmakeia, and one of the clearest uses of it is found in Galatians 5:20. And Paul, who wrote Galatians, translates it, and different translations give it differently. Some use the word sorcery. Others use the word witchcraft. But the actual Greek word is pharmakeia, which you so rightly pointed out. We get the word pharmacy. The literal use of that word is, it means magic or sorcery. And usually what that is associated with is drug-induced sorcery or witchcraft.
Not Harry Potter.
Okay. So back in the day, it was a very prevalent practice for some of the religious groups, the different occult-type groups, to use drugs with their practices. And so what Paul specifically is writing against in Galatians 5:20, and by the way, the larger context of that passage is the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. And so Paul throws under pharmakeia, that is using of drugs for an induced religious experience as part of the works of the flesh. So if you look at it in its context, flu shot is not part of that group.
Right.
You are not getting a flu shot to worship. You're not getting a flu shot to experience.
Oh my gosh.
In a religious way. So I think a flu shot, and personally, and I've talked with many Christian doctors about this, I think a flu shot is wise for a certain population, obviously the elderly, the younger, and people who have a weak immune system. And by no means would I classify it under the terminology as Paul uses the word pharmakeia there in Galatians 5.
Yeah, you know, I would never clarify or you know, put it in that classification of, you know, sorcery. But, I mean, personally, I've never had a flu shot. I don't really.
Here we go, you hippie.
Well, you know, there's a conspiracy out there with that flu shot thing.
You could turn in your hymnal to page 542. Right.
Let me just say a few things about conspiracies. just hold on. You want to get this? Let's get this riled up.
I was going to share a verse.
Okay.
I was going to. In addition, yeah. Let me just say, that was good. I will say also with Brian, he mentioned Galatians, but also in Revelation 22, I think the worry is in Galatians 20 or Revelation 22, it states that those who are outside the gates of heaven, it mentions dogs, sorcerers, the sexually immoral.
Walgreens.
That's terrible, dude. CVS. You put words in my mouth. CVS. No, murderers, idolaters, and such. And I think the worry comes in. You know, you put all this into, is it pharmakeis? Well, according to the Greek, you know, of course, anything medicinal is pharmakeis, but it wasn't used in sorcery for hallucination and a greater spiritual experience or, you know, where something like LSD or something like that is going to cause you to go into a different dimension.
Yeah, and let's be honest, and there's still a lot of religious groups today that use drugs to enhance their religious experience.
It's true.
There are Native American groups that will use elements. There are other indigenous groups around the world, in Africa, in South America, in Central America, in Europe. There are a lot of groups that use the medicines to enhance their religious experience. That is what Paul is writing against. Paul is saying, you really don't need drugs to get you high so you could have a better experience of God. That is a work of the flesh, Paul would say. Yeah. And then he goes on to describe for us the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where he lists love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and the like. So Paul is saying, focus on the reality of God's expression of who he is, the fruit of his Spirit, as opposed to this man-made or human flesh-centric use. But again, I would not classify flu shots, and I've read the conspiracies. I know people who refuse to get the flu shot, but they're usually not doctors. They're usually tied up on some website that the person is uninformed, and I would surely recommend anyone to speak with their own primary care physician.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Just stay away from Facebook groups like Pharma Sisters of Satan.
Yes.
The Storcery. Like Walgreens.
Oh,
how did you come up with that?
Because I'm a genius!
Gosh. The Pharma Sisters of Satan?
Yes, yes. And it's not sorcery. It's Storcery, all right?
Storcery.
Yes, that's like Walgreens, CVS. Jared over here, who won't get a flu shot, no. Yes.
Jared, tell us more about your sorcery.
Storcery. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just won't do it. I think that they're... Do you want to know the truth?
Yeah, of course
no,
I do.
No, we want you to lie. Lie right. to us right now. I mean, this is Theology Thursday, so we need some
just
lies.
Lie.
Well, coming out of San Francisco and Berkeley, I heard this one guy on the street tell me if you ever get a flu shot, they're actually injecting this dye that is only seen through like thermodynamics or thermo imaging.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of freaked me out. So I thought, you know, this is a conspiracy.
This one guy on the street.
Dude, they're injecting chips into your body when you
and he was also talking to himself and he was holding a sign
he was John
with
the Baptist.
With a Fraggle Rock t-shirt.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they chocolate chips? Because I'm about that life. I'll do that.
They're actually brownies.
Come on.
Wow.
I will say this. I don't put super weight behind it, but the 1 year my wife made me go get a flu shot was the 1 year I got really sick.
It's because they're putting the flu
into
you.
No, that whole I told you stuff, a complete myth. See, we live... Christians need to stop being gullible. Hey, I told you that would happen. Yeah. Let's get back to the science of it, the fact of it, and you talk to doctors who have spent their life researching this would recommend that a certain population of people get flu shots because it truly does help keep the flu away. Yeah. So let me give you the converse.
Sure.
Every year... For the past 3 years, except this year, I've gotten a flu shot. I was not sick for 3 years.
Whoa.
I did not get it this year. I've been sick twice.
Neither was I.
I'm just saying.
And I didn't do the... Yeah, so...
Gosh, you guys
No, I agree
so...
with you, though. I think it depends on the person. I personally have never done a flu shot, but I've done malaria shots. I've gone, you know...
Oh,
when
no.
When you go across the sea, you know, of course, you travel...
Do you see how we could be so... We could be so... Oh, flu shots. I read a website that says don't do this. But I jack myself with malaria, diphtheria, and all this
Absolutely.
Other stuff. But I will not
Are
get the
kidding?
Flu shot because I read the site.
Dude. Have you seen the people at Walgreens or something that are going to give you a shot? I mean, come on now. No, I'm just kidding.
Walgreens is calling you guys today.
Yeah.
It's the Pharma Sisters of Satan.
Everybody, look at me. Quit yelling at each other. Nobody has to get a flu shot, and nobody doesn't have to get a flu shot. Okay?
All right. Oh, wow.
I love you guys.
Hey, you know what's funny? Hey, can I just point something out? Yeah. We get some pretty heady topics. Yeah. Calvinism versus Arminianism, different views of end times, and we're calm, cool, and direct. But when someone calls with a flu shot question, we are like at each other's throats.
What do you mean?
This has all become central doctrine of a sudden. This is like one of the essentials of the faith now. We have drawn the line in the sand.
Yes. Line in the sand, flu shot.
We're okay with the Calvinism, Arminianism discussion. Yeah. Different views, you know, premillennial,
totally
amillennial.
Cool.
We're cool.
New Earth, older.
Flu shot. That's worth fighting for, bro.
I think it's because the Calvinists would say, well, no, if you're going to get the flu, you're going to get the flu no matter what. And then the Arminianists would be like, well, no, it's your total option, man. If you want the flu, you can go get it.
That's right.
Gosh. I got you, guy. I'm rolling with you, man.
No more shots in the Arminian.
So I must be more... God's sovereign. I mean, if you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. That's how I view it.
Oh,
so,
man.
No.
So
good
when
stuff.
You have a headache, do you, like, take Advil or
anything? Oh, yes, he does.
Depends. Depends.
Which is what you're wearing right now.
That's right.
505-338.
Exactly.
Wow. 30.
Thank you for buying
this. Someone call and get us out of this spot. Please, please.
So as it now stands, flu shot 1, Jarrett 0. 505-338-3700.
Well, here's a question. We don't have, no one's emailed us any more questions. So is there anything in particular?
We got
that,
a phone call.
Yeah, we got a
okay,
phone call.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Oh, so we didn't get to that one, or we did get to that one a couple
well,
weeks?
Well, we need to get to this one because we have not gotten to this
we have
one.
Not gotten to that
this
one?
Is okay, a fun one. But let's take our phone call and
okay,
then we'll get to this one.
All right. Static.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Healthy.
All right.
Healthy.
Okay, so I'm all clear on the flu shots and everything. I'm completely clear. Okay, dude, this question is always dodged. It's always made fun of. Everybody
Uh-oh.
Jokes about it.
Uh-oh.
You guys are talking about sorcery.
I'm gonna joke about it.
You guys are probably gonna joke about it. It's cool. Okay. So everybody talks about sorcery, dude, and all these things. My thing, I've noticed, whether it's with money, whether it's with mentalism, whether it's whatever it is, I've been hearing a lot of, you know, that there is people that are actual, like, you know, whether it's societies, whether it's a group of people, whether it's a church, but that they do practice sorcery and, like, they worship Baal and everything like that. My main thing, what I want to know, just as a believer, just as I know that there's an enemy out there. I know he has angels, or, you know, his own angels. What my thing is it true that a fleshly human being, a person just normal, can have supernatural powers to where they can practice sorcery and they can manipulate things, they can conjure up things? Is that possible for just an everyday individual to learn those things and then be able to do them and to influence other people as doing them, but actually doing it?
Great question. Yes. And I'm going to approach this from the big picture, and then we'll get really focused. To answer your question, is there sorcery? Yes, there truly is sorcery in the world today. Various pagan religions...
Mm-hmm.
do practice forms of sorcery. They would call it magic. You know, some would say dark magic. Some will call it white magic. Groups such as Wicca is one of those. Druidism, which is a form of or an older form of what we call Wicca. These groups do practice the magical arts, be it dark or white or however they want to classify it. So if you want to learn more about groups that actually do practice sorcery, I would look up Druids. I would look up Wicca. And by the way, in England, Druidism is a bona fide religious, recognized religious group. I mean, you know, they're up there with Christians and Islam and Buddhists and everything else. So they are a recognized religious entity in places in the world. Wicca is the most common form here in the United States. So those groups do practice. Now, to answer your second question, is it possible for an individual to have supernatural powers and utilize those powers to conjure up different things. Let me say this, and then I'll turn it over to Jarrett, and I'll give you some examples, and maybe we'll even have our guest, Landel Benali, jump in on this. There are people who can become, I believe, so influenced or intoxicated with demons that they do have supernatural power. And we find this in Scripture. You'll notice that when Jesus came upon those who were demon-possessed, they usually had three characteristics. One, they distanced themselves from the crowds. They were loners. They wanted separation. Two, they exuded, they had some sort of power that went beyond the ordinary. And three, obviously, they were had physical manifestations. Some, you know, foamed from the mouth. Others, you know, talked in weird voices and so on and so forth. So these are some of the characteristics I think Jarrett will expound upon. But let me just give you a practical example. Something a little bit closer to home. In Navajo traditional belief, they have what are called skinwalkers. And skinwalkers are individuals who take on, if you will, the persona of spirit beings. And Landel has firsthand experience with some of these, and he would know a little bit better, but he has seen that sometimes these people do exude. They do have strength beyond the normal. Landel, why don't you come up here and share with us a little bit about some of the experiences you've seen in that mindset. Now, mind you, for our listeners, this is falling within the larger area of you know, we don't believe they have, you know, like they could turn into a dog or something, but right. They do exude some sort of supernatural element. So,
thank you, Pastor Brian. Just real quickly, I did have experience with different individuals, like on the Navajo reservation, just like what Brian was talking about here. They don't exactly take on the form, but to some extent, they do use supernatural powers, and just like traveling long distance, because in my culture, skinwalking was actually there to like help the people back in the day to like to travel distance. Mm-hmm. So that was what it was used for. But somewhere along the way, it was misused to now it's there to do bad things to different people. You know, because you know back in the 1800s, you know, my people didn't have like, you know, Cadillacs parked outside where they can travel like 100 sure. miles within, right. you know, with a short amount of time. So, you know, they invented that to where they, hey, I need to get there in 20 minutes. So, you know, let's come up with this art. So
let me ask you this, Landel. Could someone actually transform, let's say, into like an animal, obviously like a bear or like a horse, and travel, basically? So you're like, this is their means of transportation from one destination to another. So this is how someone would transform into like an animism to an animal, pretty much, right? Or that type of...
Not exactly into that animal. Animal, but it, an image, kind of, you know, just to put on the skin, and I did see a couple of them, you know, in my lifetime, where hey, that looks out of the ordinary, you know, that horse looks weird, is at the back to the two hind legs are just hanging down, you know, what's up with that, you know, and so it gets pretty wild out there where I live.
I'm amazed. And Brian mentioned this, but I'm also reminded in Deuteronomy where the Lord speaks about this. And you know, as the question was posed, is it possible that someone could have supernatural strength or ability, and actually with the pharmakeia, at least the magic part of it? And I'll just, you know, with one other thing listed here, you got to understand what God's view is on it. And of course, in Deuteronomy, going back into the Old Testament, God obviously made it clear about the abominations in the land that the children of Israel would enter into. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, this is what he says. He says, if there's any that is found among you who makes his son or daughter that passes through the fire and practices witchcraft, soothsaying, or interprets omens, or is a sorcerer, or who conjures spells, who's a medium, a spiritist, or who calls upon the dead. This is an abomination. He says, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And he continues on, but obviously God knew that there would be spiritism, that there are such things as this where people have supernatural power. Brian also mentioned too, and I'm glad Landel spoke about this, when you have something like that going on out of the ordinary, something where you see somebody, and I'm reminded of the man who was among the graves, right? And Jesus right. came to him. He was obviously among the tombs, it says specifically. I have noticed that there's a fascination with death. Usually when someone is messing around with spiritism or occultism, there is that necromance kind of idea. They're in love with death. This man demonstrated physical strength to break the chains. He was isolated, but he was also naked, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it often reminded me, and on a side note, some of the parties that you maybe have been a part of, it's interesting when people are drunk or highly under the influence of drugs, they start taking their clothes off. So right. it's almost like a spiritist kind of, that element is a part of the spiritism, if you will, of this whole idea of, again, love of death, external power of like strength. So obviously God makes it clear it's a possibility. There are things that are happening in the land as they would enter into it. And then of course in the New Testament with Christ. So is it possible? Absolutely. Yeah. You see it. Yeah. And Landel, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. If you would like to chime in. It is Theology Thursday, and I know we got a couple email questions. Studio@mystaticradio.com. Studio@mystaticradio.com if you would like to get an email question in. Landel, I'm going to ask you about this, because as we talk about this, we don't get to have like quote unquote experts in the studio, if you will.
Okay.
I worked for Quantic Broadcast Corporation, which was a Native American. It was a national Native American radio program that I got to work for. I was the only white dude. It was all Native Americans, and then this guy. So I always said I was from the Chickawut tribe, and it was a lot of fun because I learned so much. About, I 570 something federally recognized tribes. A lot of people don't realize that. The sovereign land, talking to Mateo about that. Not realizing that with that culture, being on a reservation, speaking to that culture, there is a lot of, spiritual elements, if you will, within your culture. So how do you out there, whether Gallup on the reservation, when you're doing ministry, when you're doing work for Christ, how do you speak to that culture? Because, man, they're ingrained with spirituality. So it's not like, hey, I don't believe in something. They have strong beliefs in their culture, in their system, in the way they were raised. So how is that? How does that work? Out, where you are ministering to that culture, to somebody who already strongly believes in something.
Well, it's really hard to talk to somebody that's been brought up in a really traditional, yeah. That's all they know.
Right.
So now when we come in and say, hey, we're going to talk to you about the Bible, and then you start Ron Robin, okay, this shit, so and so told me this, and you begin to get into that Ron Robin. But one thing that I always take from here is don't get into an argument with them.
Yeah.
If you get into an argument with them, you already lost the you already lost them.
Yeah.
So we just come. I love the Book of Acts and what Paul does in Athens. He says, there's all these gods here, all these different statues.
Yeah.
But there's one here that has no name, to the unknown God.
Yeah.
And Paul takes that. And, of course, when I talk to my own, Native American Navajos, it's like, oh, yeah, we worship the same God. And I said, well, what God do you worship? Is it the God that, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac? Is it that God you're talking about? Or even they say the holy people, and say, who is the holy people? So one thing that I really love is apologetics. And I believe it's a I encourage all, you know, the pastors on the reservation to get really into the apologetics, because, you know, just taking it back to creation, and of course we have our own creation story, the first world, the second world, and how we all, you know, emerge from that, and you know, evolution kind of mixed in it. So, you know, I like to take it back to, you know, to the Bible, back to Genesis, you know, back to the basics.
Yeah.
And, you know, just ministering to the people is just loving on them, just loving them. Just, you know what, Christ loves you, and along with that, you know, it comes the truth,
right?
And just loving him and just telling him the truth of who God is and what he's done in our life, and just you know, we're the only Bibles that some elders can read, because a lot of the elders are uneducated and they didn't go to school, and they don't you know, they can't read English.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, just loving on them and talking to them, and for me to be fluent in Navajo, it just really helps me out too a lot.
Yeah. Man, and if there's one thing that I absolutely found endearing was that deep belief, because it challenged me as a Christian, because for a lot of the friends that I gained through those life experiences, they deeply believed because of not just their upbringing, but because of things they saw in their culture and these different elements, and challenged me, man, do I deeply believe this like they do? Because as you begin to talk to somebody who is deeply, quote unquote, spiritual, if you will, it can be challenging for you, because, man, you better believe what you're talking about, because if you don't truly have an understanding and believe it, as you said, the apologetics, going back to it, you can find yourself deceived.
Right, right.
Because they do believe what they believe, and they do have an understanding, and it is this deeply spiritual culture. So the problem isn't, well, I don't believe that there's a God, or oh, I believe in this, or you know, whatever it is, science, you know. They fully believe in their cultural beliefs, which it's interesting, because, you know, from tribe to tribe, it's different, but the same. You know, it's like, what does the coyote signify to the Navajo Nation, as opposed to, you know, to a different tribe? It's very interesting to see how it changes, and yet the beliefs of, well, the eternal, the afterlife, God in general. Anyways, it's cool to have you in studio to talk about like that. So, yeah. Phone lines are open.
So,
phone lines are jammed.
Yeah, line two is a bit of a subject change.
Okay.
So let's go to line two.
To line two.
Yeah.
Okay. Static.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on?
Nothing
much.
Hey, good. I have a question. I don't mean to badmouth Incantograph, but I have a buddy that she listens to him a lot. And I was wondering, I don't know much about him, but I don't know if it'd be considered bad-mouthing him.
Yeah.
I heard that he was a little off, and, you know, Parchment pulled some of his book. But can you kind of steer me in a direction of how I can explain?
Yeah.
Not explain, but just maybe to give her a little more insight on just to be careful with the guy.
Sure. Let me just say generally, Hank Hanegraaff, it really is a nice, wonderful man. Back in the day, and what I mean by that is in the late 80s, early 90s, Hank Hanegraaff used to teach at Calvary Chapel men's conferences. He was vitally integrated in a lot of the elements of that. Of course, he took over from Walter Martin on Bible Answer Man, and gives very, very solid answers on so many questions. Where the division happened, primarily between Calvary Chapels and Hank Hanegraaff, was over eschatology. Mm-hmm. Hank Hanegraaff came or adheres or holds to a different position. Though Hank, to my knowledge, hasn't really defined what that position is, he does not hold to what we would call a premillennial eschatology. And that is where Calvary Chapels fall. Calvary Chapels are premillennial in our eschatology, meaning, you know, we believe in a literal 1,000-year millennial reign. We believe, you know, both in a literal tribulation, a literal rapture, and other components of that nature. Both postmillennial eschatology and amillennial are not as defined in a literal sense. So the rift, if you will, between Calvary's and Hank came over that issue of eschatology. Now, that being said, that is a non-essential. meaning that doesn't make a person Christian or non-Christian, because there are lots of different people in the world who adhere to different eschatologies. The point that we all agree on, the common ground, is we believe Jesus is coming back in his physical person. That is what we all agree on. How and what that's going to look like, that's where the disagreement is. So though we could disagree with Hank Hanegraaff's eschatology, we can have common ground in that we both believe that Jesus is coming again. All that aside, I don't know what your friend is saying about Hank Hanegraaff, other than I do believe, generally speaking, we would agree with much of what Hank Hanegraaff has to say, particularly as it relates to the cults, particularly as it relates to the historic Christian faith, as it relates to a host of other topics. We would be right on with Hank Hanegraaff. Now, I have heard some Calvary people say, well, we don't like Hank because he's confrontational, he's argumentative. Some I've heard say, you know, there's a chip on the shoulder. I'm not here to comment on any of that.
Right.
What I'm saying is that, generally speaking, other than probably the eschatological viewpoints, we would agree much with Hank. Jarrett, did you want to jump in?
No, you know, I think you covered it really well. I think there are some controversial things too. I think, and I agree with Brian, everything that he said. I think what maybe this person is alluding to, as well as I think some of his recent writings dealing with how you approach Scripture and the hermeneutic of it, is you know, somewhat controversial in how you interpret the Scriptures, which goes into the whole viewpoint, and it makes sense if he's going to believe that, he has to have that view. So again, I say, as a brother in Christ, he believes that Christ died for his sins, believes that he's saved by grace. That's where it stands with us. So, but yeah, never speak evil of any man. And I'm also reminded recently even how Michael the Archangel didn't even bring a reviling accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's the thing I think we need to remember, is to pray for one another, to, even if there is something, if a person was even an enemy in that sense, then to not speak, you know, ill will of them or anything, but pray. Jesus said, pray for enemies. And I think that's the point we're trying to get across.
And let me just summarize Augustine here. This isn't an exact quote, but, you know, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, diversity; but in all things, charity, or in all things, love. So in essentials, and what are those essentials? Usually the essentials, as we understand them, were the earliest statement of faith, what we would call the Apostles' Creed. So those are what we would adhere to as the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. So those, that's where we have to have unity. In the other areas, there is diversity. But when we come to diversity, we have to have love being the reigning characteristic with other believers. So that would be my advice to you, particularly when dealing with someone you may not always agree with. Love them, as Jarrett said, pray for them. And, you know, you could talk openly and candidly about certain beliefs and, how you approach Scripture. But recognize that we're to treat that person with love.
Right on.
Thanks, guys. That helped me out. I didn't know too much about that, but I just wanted to kind of steer her in a direction, but definitely you guys help me out. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, we just got a Facebook comment. It's related. It says, would it be fair to say that the majority of premillennial dispensational adherents dwell here in the United States?
Yeah, definitely. Premillennialism, interestingly enough, if we go back historically, the modern notions of premillennial eschatology actually started in England. Darby and others.
Darby, yeah.
But it was transferred, the strong theological stance was transferred to the Americas through the Schofield Study Bible. And so primarily through the Baptist, Plymouth Brethren, and other groups. And it came to prominence in the 1900s. Now, that is the modern incantation. Early, what we call historic premillennialism, goes back to the early church. Irenaeus was premillennial in his eschatology. So was a host of other early church fathers. But I need to point out that their premillennialism was not the exact stance that we have modern premillennialism.
What are some differences? I'd like to
know that. The differences largely come down to the rapture.
Okay.
And the rapture, two things. Mm-hmm. The nature of the rapture.
Okay.
and the nature of Israel. Those, and again, I'm generalizing here. I'm not going in depth. But the nature of the rapture is, in some historic premillennialism, they saw the rapture and the second coming entwined. They're the same thing. The rapture is the second coming. You know, people are raptured and they come down. Christ sets up his millennial kingdom, and then he does away with Satan once and for good. So that's more of historical premillennialism. They also have a slight variation on how they view Israel. But modern debate within premillennial camps is the timing of the rapture. So what you have is what's called pre-wrath, which is Calvary Chapel's largely adhere to a pre-wrath. We believe the rapture will happen, the tribulation will occur, and then the millennium sets in. That's called pre-wrath. And then you have mid-trib, that the tribulation will get started, Christ comes halfway through the tribulation, then you get the post-trib. And they believe, once again, much like what we would call historic premillennialism, that the second coming and the rapture coincide. So Christ, the rapture is the point when those dead in Christ will rise, meet Christ in the air. He comes, and with the trump of an archangel, sounds, announces, this is it. I'm coming, I'm here, I'm setting up my millennial kingdom to show you what things are like. And then Satan is let loose and dealt with on, after the millennial kingdom, you know, dealt with on a permanent, eternal basis. So, again, the differences largely have to do with the rapture and the nature of Israel.
Gotcha.
There you go. 505-338-3700. It is Theology Thursday. Getting over to line one. Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
Static.
Hey, guys. How
are
you doing this morning?
Good.
So, this is kind of back over to the subject before.
Okay.
So, a quick question. Like the TV shows Long Island Medium and stuff like this. I know where I stand on it. I don't believe she's talking to your actual dead relatives personally. But you know, there are those that would say that, well, she's bringing people closure. She's bringing people, you know, some peace in her heart from past loved ones that have passed away. She even said herself a few times that, you know, that this is a gift from God. I guess what I would like to know is, how would you guys approach something like that? How would you come to, you know, if you're talking to somebody, to explain that really it's not something that we should be doing or participate, you know, stuff like that, and you know, and things like horoscopes. I have a friend that looks at horoscopes almost every day, and it's like you can't rely on those things. But I just wondering, how would you guys approach that? How would you come to talk to somebody that has that type of point of view or has that opinion of those things?
All right. So somebody who believes, like a Miss Cleo, a psychic.
Sure, sure. But again, that would go back to what you were discussing with Landel and I started off, the whole notion of pagan belief. And part of historic pagan belief, be it Wicca or Druidism, is this idea of horoscopes and the changing nature of the stars and reading basically a metaphysical understanding into the natural surroundings, be it life forces in trees, be it life forces in all things. And again, this has roots back to ancient religious practices, be it Hinduism, elements of Buddhism, all of these, you know, kind of the God in you, God in me type thing. How I would talk to someone about that, I personally would just talk about Jesus, the uniqueness of Jesus, the claims of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Because ultimately, anything else is just going to be an ongoing debate. I would bring it all back and say, you know what? That's cool for now. Let's park that car for a moment. Let's get out and move to a different parking lot and talk about the uniqueness of Jesus. Let's talk about his claims. Let's talk about the resurrection, the historical validity of that. Let's talk about who he said he was, and let's focus the attention on Jesus and then the fallout of what that means to all these other things. Because the only way a person's life or worldview is going to be transitioned or changed is found in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and a good tool for that, you know, I think too, as you educate yourself on these things, is in our bookstore, you know, we have these things called the Rose Pamphlets, and basically it gives a comparison of various religions, and it's been very helpful for me, especially, you know, if you travel out of the country and you go to, let's say, you're, as Brian mentioned, Hinduism, you know, whether it's Buddhism, New Age philosophy, all this kind of stuff. It gives a comparative to the person of Christ, even with Islam and such, you know, whatever it could be. And these little Rose Pamphlets will talk about who is Christ, what about sin and salvation, what about heaven, how does a person get there, and it compares these things, but it gives you enough information and history to have the background when you're dealing with spiritism or animism or pantheism and you know, witchcraft and stuff like that.
And I agree, Jared, those pamphlets are great. And if you want a little bit more in detail, I would recommend Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel, as a lawyer, or excuse me, a journalist of law, he was a skeptic. He was a big atheist. He didn't really believe in the whole Jesus mumbo jumbo. But then he went to investigate. And The Case for Christ is kind of his walk, his journey of discovering who Christ is and the uniqueness of Jesus. And as a journalist, it's a very approachable book. Lee Strobel wrote it, and it's been a bestseller. So not only to equip you in discussing this with your friend, but maybe your friend would want to, you know, read The Case for Christ or get some of those Rose pamphlets.
There you go.
Well, I got it. Well, the quick thing is that I guess I should be a little more specific and clear. These people are actually professed Christians that believe in this stuff.
Oh, well, now that's a completely different angle. Then what I would do, there are ample scripture passages that we are not to be going back to sorcery, going back to witchcraft. We are not to be using pagan practices, you know, as a rule of our faith. That is, again, what Paul is saying in Galatians 5. He lists this, be it witchcraft, and again, not using of you know, medicine or pharmacy in it. But you even go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 18, and it is very clearly stated there as well, and Jared's going to give you some more on that.
Yeah, I read this earlier, but just Deuteronomy 18, if you didn't catch it, I would go and look there, because God is the same, of course, throughout his scripture, you know, reveals that he is the same nature, Old New Testament alike. And in Deuteronomy 18, it reveals that God, obviously, these things were confronted by the children of Israel, dealing with spiritism. And I'll just read it real briefly again. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who causes his daughter or his son to pass through fire, or who practices witchcraft, who practices soothsaying, who practices interprets omens, who practices sorcery, who practices conjuring spells, who's a medium, who's a spiritist, or even who calls upon the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and God, this is the reason why God is driving them out from before you." So God is very clear, going back early into even Israel's history, even bringing them out of Egypt, when you think about you know, the worship of different gods, and from Ra to, you know, you name it, you know, the gods of Egypt and such. And so spiritism has always been there. So God wants to make sure, you know, as a believer, if that is, witchcraft is a major issue, and you need to stay away from
it. Yeah, and as Jared pointed out, there's definite prohibition, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, against this type of pagan ritualistic belief. Now, that said, if they don't believe in the horoscopes and they're kind of treating them like fortune cookies, you know, when you go to Panda Express and you get the fortune cookie and you read it, it's almost like a joke. You laugh and go, "This isn't me." Now, if they're approaching it like that, you know, but it sounds like your friends are approaching it like they're believing it. They're letting it kind of guide, you know, their life. That, again, is scripture, you know, prohibits that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Actually, I appreciate it. I'll go through Deuteronomy again. That's great information.
Right on, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys. You guys are doing awesome.
Right on. 505-338-3700. The phone number.
And kind of piggybacking off of that.
Yeah.
Can you guys speak a little bit about how we as believers should approach the view that all religions are essentially the same here on the reservation and in other places? Christians are considered intolerant and rude for pushing their beliefs on others. What ways can we give the truth in a loving way without being disrespectful? P.S. Tell Landel we said hey.
Hey, Landel. This
Ty
is
Platero.
Oh, hey, Ty. Great School of Ministry graduate and one of Landel's assistants out there. Well, Ty, as you know, the uniqueness of Christ is the dividing factor to any other universalist type ideology. Right. And the notion kind of goes like this. This is what universalism teaches. Hey, life is like a big mountain. There's many paths that could take you to the top, but we're all going to get to the top somewhere or another. But here's the point. The Bible doesn't make those claims. Jesus is very specific in his truth claims. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're going to take Jesus on one hand as Messiah, we also have to accept his truth claims, what he says concerning about himself, and therefore make him Lord. It goes back to what C.S. Lewis said, and he gave it as the trilemma. This idea that Jesus is either a lunatic, that he didn't really know what he was saying. Well, then you would say, well, how did all these miracles, how did lives change if he was a lunatic? Then you'd have to say, well, is he a liar? Well, once again, you then have to look at the totality of his life. If he's a liar, how was he able to do miracles? How were lives transformed and changed? The only conclusion you could come to is the third L, and that's Lord. So you have to take the full package of who Jesus says he is, was, and will, you know, come again. And when you take that, that's why I always say you have to come and focus on the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. God has established who he is from the foundation of the world, and he's wrapped up who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so it behooves us to understand who God is on his own terms rather than making God on our own terms. Jarrett.
Yeah, and I like that, Brian. You I think you nailed it completely where, you know, there's an inclusion where if you include, you take Christ on, there's also the exclusion that there are no other gods. You can't have the Lord with other people. Jesus made it clear, like Brian said, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in relationship to that, I love the idea that, you know, Ty is asking to, what are some ways we could do that practically? I think it begins with prayer. I think you pray for people. I think people around you, you pray for them and pray that God would open their heart, that they would be open to truth. And then as you have conversation, I think making yourself available, being able to meet with that person and do, when you speak to them in truth and love. Listen to people. I think that's another thing, is being able to listen to them because they have a spin on a certain thing. It may be wrong. It may be not according to scripture, but I think as you listen to them, then you're able to work on those things and discuss those things openly without just attacking and say, oh, if you don't believe this way, you're done, but rather just share in love. And God will give you, I believe, supernaturally the words to say and the opportunity then to share those things. And we also have Landel here to share in a few things. What are some other ways?
And Jared, you just said the prayer.
Yes.
So prayer is a key component in witness to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian firsthand also witnessed that when we started planting a church out in Calvary, Toltagai, some of the people there in our surrounding areas, they were just totally against, hey, we don't want it. We don't want no more churches being built here whatsoever. Stay away. Yeah. You know, so we just, you know, went out there and started reaching out to them, just sharing God's love and just, you know, sharing the truth with them. Okay. So when we came back before the local government to have this church established, you know, from, you know, asking the local government for a piece of land to build a church, God, you know, worked in ways where, hey, here comes the most hardened person that could say, hey, Get out of here. This is the guy that spoke on our behalf and said, let's build this church.
That's amazing.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I've seen firsthand of what God can do.
That's
to
awesome.
You know,
did he give you the land?
Yes. We have a 1.5 acre land now where we established a church. We built a church, so it's pretty
that's
cool. Cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that's absolutely incredible. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah, going
by
back
prayer,
to culture,
you know,
you got to realize the many hurts that come with that. Because to get back to that question that Ty posed, I mean, especially with the native culture, when I stepped in, I realized, oh man, I knew nothing about, hey, back in the day, the Catholics came and they stole all the children and took them to Catholic school, and here's what they taught them, and this is the form of Christianity we know. They took our children. This is how we understand Christianity. And so when we go out to speak to anyone, it doesn't matter what culture they are, they're going to bring, at this point, probably some baggage of what Christianity is to them. So prayer is essential, because you don't know what you're stepping into. There's some deep wounds. There's some deep hurts. There's some, maybe it was a stepdad who was a quote-unquote Christian who really destroyed that concept of Christ. And so there's a lot that comes in with that.
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback on what Landel says, it's prayer, but it's also showing love.
Amen.
It's showing what Christians are about, loving the community. And part of how Landel was able to make such a great witness is they did food closets. They went and visited the elderly. I remember delivering wood with him on the reservation. And the people saw the love of Christ working through his church. And that, my friends, is a witness beyond belief.
Absolutely. We just talked about this in our Connect group this week, because this last weekend Pastor Skip was talking about the wolves, you know, that those heretics, those teachers, those false teachers, and the damage it does. And one of the Connect group questions, that was what we focused on, was why is it such a damaging thing? And this is why. This is a reason why, because so many people have hurts and wounds from false teachers who have said, this is the way, or this is the Jesus that you should know, that we're incorrect. And now we, as true believers in Christ, are coming up against that. And so somebody in our Connect group this last week was talking about being on the college campus and speaking to people who just have animosity towards Christians and having to undo that. And we said, well, do you have to undo that, or can you just show them? Can you just be love? And in turn, they'll see, wait, there's something different about you. Yeah. Maybe this is different. Maybe this is set apart. Maybe this is that light that Jesus was talking about.
Yeah, you know, the power of a transformed life is amazing. Yeah. And that's what it is. I mean, you know, you are, you know, if you're in the Lord, it's really who you are as a person that people are going to see. I want to do this. I want to be a part of this. Otherwise, they're not. I mean, that goes for anything. I mean, you know, so Landel, it's so awesome to hear that. And just those pointers of pray, be who you are in the Lord, show the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a part of it doing, like, follow through with what you say. If you're going to be in people's stuff and bless them and pray for them, do it. Be there. Be faithful. Be committed. And God will give you the strength for all that. So.
Amen. Man!
Yes!
It's already almost 10 o'clock.
Yes, I'm not getting a flu shot, though.
Ugh,
I'm going...
If you miss any part of Theology Thursday, download the podcast.
And just a reminder for our listeners, some great books, The Case for Christ, we mentioned by Lee Strobel, some Rose pamphlets. Also for the person who called in about the end times views, there's a book on the four views of end times. Also regarding the essentials in unity, Norman Geisler and Ron Rhodes wrote a very important book that discusses, I think it was... Conviction Without Compromise by Norman Geisler. Very great book. I would get my hands on in that area.
There you go. Cool. MyStaticRadio.com for the podcast. We always post the resources as well there, so you can check it out. MyStaticRadio.com/Theology Thursday. That is it for us. Heading out to Winter Jam tonight.
Yeah.
And you preparing for the show this weekend with Flyleaf. All the details for both of those shows. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Tomorrow is Friday. It is finally here. We couldn't be happier.
Woo!
All right. Until tomorrow, it is Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.